Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. Glad you're here tonight. I see some of you got in early. Wonderful. Good job. All right, we're here to minister to you tonight and to pray for you and believe God with you for whatever you need. Hopefully we can get something from the Lord. God will speak something to you. It'll just flow out. They'll give you one little key, two little keys, half a key, better than no key. That's what it takes to open the door. So we're believing God for keys of understanding, keys of, you know, hints even, like the mysteries, like, you know, like you would a, you know, somebody who's putting a detective putting together a case. He puts this piece of evidence with that piece of evidence and this sign with that sign and all these signs together. And if he's smart, he'll put something together and go, wow, look at there. There's the answer. We found the culprit or whatever. Found the answer. We found the treasure. Yeah, so it's really, really cool. And God is really dealing with me right now about bearing fruit and about, you know, bearing fruit and how much he wants us to bear a lot of fruit. I mean, a lot. It's like, what do you see this? And I'm going to share this with you. I just kind of got this today. How that he wants us to bear, you know, a lot of fruit, man. I mean, it's his design for us. It's not just to kind of like barely make it. And I'm just talking about finances. I'm talking about in every area. I'm talking about, you know, you'll see it in a minute. I'm going to share it with you. So I think you're going to love this. So please listen closely and let's believe God to open our eyes to some new things. Hopefully we'll all learn together tonight and it'll be really awesome. So thanks for calling in. Thanks for being with us tonight. It's our night where we prophesy to every person who calls in. I had people ask me earlier today, you know, when we minister to people, I said, Wednesday's the best night to call in if you just need ministry. And we do a little teaching a little bit before. We're going to call that prophetic, what I call prophetic revelation, and sharing revelation from Jesus, which we give away. We don't sell any of it anytime, ever. Give it all away, always. We think that's what the whole body of leadership should do, the body of Christ leadership should do, is give it away, especially if it's coming from God. If you're not coming from God, then, hey, sell it. It's a piece of trash anyway, right? Well, if it's not coming from God, if it's just coming from you, some good ideas, hey, maybe somebody want to buy that, but I don't want to buy nothing like that. I don't want to buy anything. I want to give everything to Jesus and give everything that he gives me away. It's a five-fold ministry person as a shepherd to the flock. You know, whether you're a prophet shepherd, pastor shepherd, evangelist shepherd, whatever kind of shepherd you are, teacher shepherd, apostle shepherd, you know, you, when we get words from God, we don't sell that. I mean, you know how ridiculous that is when you think about it? You think Jesus went around selling his words? Oh, I got a book here. It's the book of Jesus. I'm going to sell it to you for like $19.95 to raise money for my you know, building fund or whatever. You know, what have we done with the gospel, man? I'm telling you, what have we done? I mean, you want to sell a T-shirt or something? I don't even really ever do that. But, I mean, that's just completely different. But when you're selling the word of a living God, either the words you're getting are from God or they're not. If they're not from God, then, hey, sell them. You'll be fine. I mean, you may be sowing some bad seed there, but, you know, hey, but the thing is, I think I'd rather see people do that than sell the word of God. I'd rather see people selling trash. That's just, you know, a bunch of intellectual information. Sell that. I think they're getting less trouble for doing that than they will for selling the word of God. If you're a preacher, a minister, a five-fold ministry shepherd, then you get words from God. That's what you get. You feed the flock with what? Words from yourself? No, you get words from God, hopefully. Right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So I don't know. I haven't quite got this figured out yet. What are you talking about over there? Oh, we do it to raise money for our, you know, I just never saw Jesus do that, not once. He never sold anything. He just never sold anything. He didn't sell his words. He didn't sell prophecies. He didn't sell anything. He gave everything away, and guess what happened? The money just came rolling in. He had to have Judas, of all people, to be his treasurer. You know, you ever had a Judas doing your treasure? That's amazing. You try sometime. It's really interesting. Like, it didn't really matter how much you stole. It's just God just kept blessing, right? When you're giving, you know, God just keeps giving back, right? So I think if our shepherds could get hold of this wonderful message, it would be awesome. It would be so awesome. How can they ever dare even think about selling something that they believe came from God through them for the sheep? Now, if it's just some little testimony, maybe something, I don't know. Maybe there's some things you can sell. I don't know. I'm not into any of it. But, you know, definitely not the word of the living God that comes through them, right? Teachings that come, is your teaching, ask your pastor, ask your teachers, ask your prophets. Are you selling that? Did that come from God or is that just yours? Oh, that's just mine. Okay, well, maybe you can sell that. But, you know, but the word you get from God, do you sell those? Well, of course we sell them. We got to raise money somehow or another. You know, it's just not in the Bible, y'all. It never has been. It never will be. And it's an abomination to God, and God's going to deal with it in a very heavy-handed way. And so, you know, I'm not saying, like I say, I'm going to repeat this. I'm not talking, you know, you're going to sell a T-shirt or something, you know, whatever. You know, actually, I'm not for any of that. But I think powerful ministry people should just give, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus didn't sell. Did Jesus sell anything? No, some of his disciples wanted to sell stuff. Judas was one of the main ones. He said, well, Lord, we could have sold that. We could have sold that. It's like kind of like selling a T-shirt, I guess, right? We could have sold that alabaster box that Mary blessed you with. I mean, she was anointing you for your burial, but we don't believe you're supposed to die. So what do you want? We could have sold that and made some money off of it. Like going, Jesus kind of went, you know, you guys don't even know what you're doing. You know, today I think he would say the same thing to some of these wonderful, God-fearing, merchandising, creepy-crawling things that they sell, you know, thinking that it's saying that it's God. And, you know, I don't know. To me, it just makes no sense. As y'all know, I have a little thing about that because God's given it to me. And I believe that we're about to see some judgment on some of that stuff very soon. Pretty, you know, I say very soon, you know. And it's a process of levels, one level to the other. Three main layers, mainly. So get ready for that. And I'm just kind of giving a fresh update on that. Aren't you glad? All right, there you go. So let's talk about bearing much fruit tonight. All right, bearing much fruit. Does God want you to bear much fruit or just a lot of fruit? Is it a lot, maybe a lot, and much is the same? Okay, let's just say it differently then. Does he want you to bear a little bit of fruit, you know, barely making it thing, you know, barely getting anything done for God? Or does he want you to bear much fruit? Wow. I want to read this to you, and I want you to see this man. This is really, really amazing. He's talking about abiding in him. He said, if you remain in me and your words remain in me, you will ask whatever you desire. This is a desire realm I'm talking about. Not our message tonight, but watch this. Talking about the desire realm, which we've talked about for years. You will ask whatsoever you desire, and it will be done for you. How do you do that? If you remain in me, saith the Lord, right? And my word is not only that you remain in him, but his words remain in you. The word of God that you're getting, whether it be prophetic words that come from God or words from God out of the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul told Timothy, his favorite disciple, he said, go get some of those prophecies that have been spoken over you and recall them and, you know, so you can fight a good fight. That was Paul the Apostle. Isn't that amazing? I just love it. You know, y'all know that's one of my favorite, right? I love it. I read that for many years and never even saw it before. One day my eyes were open. Ever since then, I've been on it. All right. But he also, of course, we get into the Word of God. So he didn't say, he said, if you remain in me, in him, he's talking about him as a person, the person of Jesus, getting to know and remaining in knowledge and in love with the person, but love, remaining in the person of Jesus. Ooh, that's beautiful. In the person, ooh, who he is. It's not just about a presence, though it is. It is about him as a person. When we do communion, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Wow. Okay, so John 15:7, where I'm at. If you remain in me, and watch this, and my words remain in you. Paul told Timothy, let those words, those prophecies remain in you. Meditate on them. Let them become part of you so they remain in you. Then they just come and go. And also, you know, the word that God speaks to you through the word of God, through the written word, through the rhema word, whatever word you want to say. Not just prophecy, of course, but words that come from the Bible and that come from your time where God speaks to you, right? God speaking to you is different from prophecy. Prophecy is coming from other servants of God to you. Hearing from God yourself is getting words from God for you, right? Completely different thing. And it's not that you can't prophesy to yourself, because I've done it. I've actually done that. It's really cool. I have to tell you about that. I think I've talked about it once before, but I actually did that a couple of times during offerings. I gave an offering. No, I didn't say the real name, you know, like $50, something like that. I don't give as much. I'm not a big a giver to PGN. Some of you guys are, as far as that would get. Anyway, so I'm praying over this $50 or $100 offering, whatever it was. And I'm just prophesying over myself. Y'all never even knew that. I was prophesying over me. And it was good, I have to say. A little corrective, but it was awesome. I'm going like, oh, wow. Some people think you can't do that, but I found that you can, and it really is powerful. All right, so whatever the word, remain in Jesus, the person, and his words, the words that you get, you know, from him when you read the word or when you're in church or when you're in some type of ministry where you're getting ministered to, okay? And when you remain in him and his word remain in you, both words say remain. You remain. Everybody say that with me. Remain in Jesus, right? Remain in Jesus. Remain. And my words remain in you, right? Or abide in you. You will ask whatsoever you desire, and it will be done for you, right? You know why? Because you're going to be asking according to the will of the Father, because your will is going to be his will. Your desire is going to be his desires. That's why he says, and you will ask whatsoever you desire. Why? Because he knows the fruit of remaining in Jesus, remaining in him as a person, and in his words remaining in you. He knows what that produces, and it produces God giving you the will of God for your life, and it be the perfect will of God, and you actually desire and want to do it. In fact, you want to do it as bad as God wants you to do it almost. You know, that's how powerful it is. And it will be done for you, no question about it. So the big thing isn't just hopping around, doing whatever you want, however you want it, and going in and out of the word, going in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. You know, sometimes we go in and out until we start learning how to remain. It takes time to learn how to remain, right? Because until you remain, you're not going to be able to ask whatsoever you desire. You know why? Because your desires are not going to be turned over to Jesus quite yet, and it takes time to do that. It takes all of us time to do that. So it takes time to learn how to remain in him. You know, you ever had people just kind of knock you out of Jesus for a moment? You know, you'd be going along doing real good, and all of a sudden somebody, you know, sends you a nasty text or phone call or says something ugly to you, somebody driving down the road, you know, waves the little birdie at you, you know, like, hey, man, you know, and you kind of like get out of Jesus real quick, just for a minute, but I mean, you know, you get out. So there's all those little things, you know, that try to get us out. Everything the devil does around us and the world is doing is to get us to keep us from remaining in him. Because if you remain in him and you remain in his word, his word remains in you, that is, then you can ask whatever you desire, friend. Wow, that's the desire realm, big time. Next verse, watch this. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. So does that mean if you're not bearing fruit, you're not saved? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean it at all. I'm going to read to you more. I'm going to read more about that here in a minute and kind of explain some things to you. But this is really interesting, because the thing that really God was impressing on me today was that he said, Randy, I want you to bear much fruit. When God says much, friend, it's not a lot. In human terms, it is so much in a human term that you can't say the human term for much is not the same thing as God says for much. When God says massive, there's a massive merger or there's a massive something going on. When God says that, it's massive. It's global, right? So when Jesus says that you bear much fruit, and I went, you know, I just kind of went, wow, he really wants us to bear much fruit, right? Yeah, and look at the next verse. Even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Wow, remain in my love. That's really what he's saying. It's remain in my love. So when you remain in Jesus, you remain in his love, right? It's really, really cool. And when you remain in his love, okay, let's talk about what bearing fruit means. Let's talk about this just for a moment. So if you're in the Word and the Word is in you and you're in Jesus, Jesus is the Word. If you're in the person of Jesus and you're fellowshipping with him and you feel like he's with you, even though, let's say, you know, 10 years from now, he's in Jerusalem. I don't know if he will be or not, but I'm just saying, let's say 10 years from now, if he was in Jerusalem, would it be much different than him being in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father, fellowshipping with you, getting to know him? Because when he's on the earth, we're still not going to be right there with him every day, right? I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to be sitting next to him on his throne. I wish I was. But, you know, I'm going to be probably somewhere in Texas. I don't know where I'm going to be exactly. But, you know, we'll be able to even then, you know, imagine ourselves seeing on TV probably and the radio. I don't know how we're going to hear him and how he's going to communicate exactly. But the even through TV and radio, the greatest communication is the same way we have with him right now. By the Spirit. By the Spirit, the communication and the imagery, if you will, of knowing that he's with you and feeling like he's standing right here. He could be in Jerusalem 10 years from now, physically. You know, rule and reign on the earth, and you can be somewhere on the other side of the globe and just feel like that you're just as close to him as you were before he ever showed up from heaven, right? When he was at the right hand of the Father and you're in the earth doing your God thing, whatever that is, right? So, yeah. So the will of God is remaining in him and reigning, and his word remaining in you is, and asking whatsoever you will, is all about the will of the Father. So what does fruit mean? Winning souls? If that's what the will of the Father is for you, to focus on winning souls, and that's your life goal, and you're an evangelist, or you're, you know, or maybe you're a mother, and you have this, feel like this passion to win every mother in your neighborhood to Jesus, or every person you come across that's a, you know, mother figure, or maybe a girl or a woman or whatever, you want to win them to Jesus. Well, if that's your calling, then to get them to get saved, then you're bearing much fruit because you're in the will of the Father. You're doing what God has designed you to do. But if he's called you to disciple people who are already saved, then if you spend all your time getting people saved and you don't disciple, and the will of God for you is to disciple them, to keep them and teach them how to remain in Jesus, the word remain in them, if that's your job, then you're not bearing much fruit, even if you win 1,000 souls a day. You're not bearing fruit, because fruit bearing is doing the will of the Father. That's why he says, well, if you remain in me, in my who I am as a person, and my words remain in you, you will ask whatsoever you will. So what are you asking for when you do that? It has to be the will of the Father, or he's not going to give it, right? We know that. He's not going to give something other than his will, because anything other than his will is going to be bad for you. You think God's going to give you a serpent when you ask him for bread? Or a fish? You think he's going to do that? Of course he's not. Think he's going to give you a scorpion instead of, you know, bread or whatever? No, he's going to give you, you know, he's not going to give you something that's not his will, because anything outside his will for you is death, is worthless, is fruitless. For years, because I first got saved, I hung around a bunch of crazy evangelists, man. I mean, they were all evangelists. Basically speaking, and it was really cool, but as I went on later in the Lord, I began to realize that the thing God had called me to do, his will for me, wasn't necessary to spend all my time in revival and trying to win people to Jesus, or have healing services, which I love doing, and that's all I focused on, is healing services, word of knowledge, healing services, that kind of thing. And I was doing that, and it was fun. I loved it, but something was missing. Something was missing. Were people getting saved? Yes. Were people getting healed? Yes. You have a few miracles? Yes. Had a few. And so, you know, you think, well, then you're bearing fruit, Randy. No. No, I wasn't bearing fruit. Not really. Because bearing fruit, friend, we have to realize this. It's what the will of the Father is. Because if you're doing anything other than the will of the Father, people say, well, if I knew Jesus was coming back next week, shouldn't I quit my job and try to win everybody to Jesus? No. Keep doing the will of the Father. If the will of the Father is to quit your job and do it and win people to Jesus, if that's what you've been called to do and you know it and you haven't been doing it, that's different. Yeah, so start doing that. Bearing fruit, friend, isn't how much money you make for God, unless God has you making money for him. Yeah, if he's got you making money for him, then the more money you make for him, the more fruit you bear. But if he's got you out here, you know, raising money for other people instead of, you know, in a business making money, if he's got you raising money for other people, let's say, as an example, and you're supposed to be doing that other than having a business making money for him, he says, I want you to raise money, you know, and so it's all about the will of God. So if you're called to raise money, the more money you raise because you learn how to raise money, you know, got the God way, not the human fleshly manipulative way, but the God way, then the more money you raise for God, right, if that's what you're called to do, then the more fruit you bear. But if God has you placed where you're receiving money from other people, and you take that money and you build the kingdom of God with it, then, and you're not really making any money, you're not really producing money, but money's coming to you, and you take that money, and you do what God's calling you to do, friend, the more you do what God's called you to do, the more fruit you bear. If you're called to have children and have a family, and you're trying to leave your family, and, oh, I got to go out and win the whole world to Jesus, you know, and God hasn't really called you to specifically do that, but he's called you to raise those kids because you never know who you're raising. You could be raising a Billy Graham or whoever. You could be doing that. So if you spend all your time not raising that child and busy, and then that child basically raised themselves with a little bit of mama and a daddy here and there, and they don't really get that full nurturing, you know, God could still use them, but maybe if you would have spent time doing what God called you to do, he would have said when your child became the great evangelist or the great whatever they were, moneymaker from heaven, you know, to fund ministries and that kind of thing, the great preacher or evangelist or whatever they become, you know, you get the fruit of that. Why? Because you focus on the will of God in your life. And therefore God says, not how many souls you won, but the fact that you raised those children in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. And that was your goal in life. That was your purpose. Some people feel that. And we make them feel guilty because they're not out there winning people to Jesus. So we're trying to get them to, you know, leave their children at home or whatever, or get a babysitter and go out and win people to Jesus, and therefore they can, you know, bear much fruit. And I'm telling you, if God's telling you to do that, that's different. But if he's telling you to raise those babies, friend, and have children, then that's all he wants you to do is keep your house clean. So when your husband comes home, you know, he may be the one out making money for Jesus and doing the will of God from there, and you criticize him because all he thinks about is money, making money for Jesus, and you're like, going, well, you know, why don't you think about something else? You know, well, as far as business goes, he goes, well, I'm called to do this. So if he's doing that for God, then he's bearing much fruit, right? Not that he shouldn't come home and pay attention to his children, but if you're doing your job at home, if you're called to be at home and called to raise those children and called to be a good wife for that husband that's out there, you know, building businesses and all you can think about is winning souls to Jesus with his money and getting that money in the hands of the evangelist or pastor or teacher so they can do their thing. It doesn't matter if that person ever won a soul, witness to a soul in his life. He bore fruit because he did what God called him to do. And the money that he gave to the evangelist, that became his fruit because that was his purpose, that was his will. Your fruit, friend, isn't how much money you make or how much money you give. I mean, if that's part of the will of God for your life, of course that's going to be the bearing fruit. But if you're just trying to do something for God, because somebody made you feel guilty that you're not out evangelizing or giving your money away, all your money away to God. Well, some people have a passion. The woman who gave the two mites. Obviously, it was God's will for her to do that because Jesus said this woman is doing more. Why was she doing more than the rest of them? That's impossible when they're giving millions. All she was giving with her two little pence. What good is that going to do to the church? But you know what? Jesus said this woman is more in the will of God because she's doing what the Father told her to do, and that was give of her living. And she was doing the will of the Father. And all these other people, they weren't really doing the will of the Father. They were just throwing stuff in there, you know, just to whatever, look good. Right? Yeah. And so, you know, I think Jesus would have, I think we need to have a scripture where Jesus goes to the man who threw in $1 million and goes, and goes, you know, this man just gave of his all of his living. And you could hear the money go, ping, 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 and just filled up like three baskets full of big coins. And And people say, well, that millionaire, he probably stole that money. And Jesus walks over to the millionaire who just gave that, and he says, no. He said, y'all, I just talked to the widow who gave those 2 pence and said she's, you know, more blessed than some of these other people, but not this one. This guy right here who just gave $1 million, it's not about the $1 million he gave. He gave of his living when he gave that $1 million. Therefore, he is blessed and favored of God. You see, friend, because it's not about, you know, comparing who's doing what. It's about comparing who's doing the will of the Father and who's not. So you got to find out what God's will is for your life and do that and quit worrying about, you know, we get so torn. Preachers just tear people apart by, you know what, you know, you need to be out winning people to Jesus. So they quit their job, and the people that are supposed to be out there making money for the preacher, for the church to you know, to do its thing, they're telling them to get out there and evangelize. So they stop their job, start evangelizing, and they can't figure out why the money is not coming anymore. You know, because they look at fruit as how many people you win to Jesus, instead of teaching them to do the will of the Father. When they're doing the will of the Father, and everybody's doing the will of the Father, friend, there's not going to be any lack anywhere. No lack anywhere. Why? Because everybody's fulfilling the will of God. When the will of God is fulfilled in every way, friend, everything that needs to be done is done. Amen? I'm loving this stuff tonight, man. So watch this. Let's read this again. I love this. You need to receive the whole chapter of John 15, man. I got into it today, and I was, you know, working out. I don't work out, but I shouldn't say working out. I'm piddling around at the gym. So I'm at the gym, right, working out, and what I call a workout, and I'm doing this stuff, and I listen to the word, right? One of the times I listen to the word, I'm going like, I had to stop everything and go, what did that say? And I've listened to John 15 just probably as many times as you had, guys, have. Like, oh, my God, this is really, really amazing. What is going on here? And he says, if any man doesn't remain in me, he is thrown out as a branch. Now, some people teach that that's sending people to hell, but I'm going to share something with you. And is withered, and they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Right? If any man doesn't remain in me, so people say, oh, they backslid, they went to hell. That has nothing to do with that. Right? It has nothing to do with that. Remember the scripture that we taught on not very long ago? I think Jeannie had called in and asked a really great question that a lot of people ask. And that is, Randy, if we knew Jesus was coming back, like, in 6 months, wouldn't we maybe stop everything we're doing and just start winning people to Jesus? Wouldn't we, you know, just change things? I'm going like, well, I probably would change some things because there's probably some things that I'm not doing that I need to be doing. But for the most part, I hope I'm not changing anything. So we think bearing fruit, we've been taught I've preached this myself many times. I've condemned a few people. I've done everything I've talked about that I'm criticizing preachers about. I've done it. Right? I've done my share of it. Teaching people, you know, bear fruit. It's about getting people saved. Because I spent years in the street and winning people to Jesus and praying for healing and that kind of thing. And it was fun. It was God. It was a wonderful thing. But as I grew in the Lord, as I began to remain in Him, I found my ministry. I found my calling. And then I became more happy, more satisfied, more blessed, you know, in every way. And so it's really, really amazing. And so, but if I had kept on just doing my thing instead of doing what God wanted me to do, I could have been religious. I could have been saying, man, I won 14 people to Jesus today, which I used to say that. I won 14 people to Jesus today. Prayed the sinner's prayer with me. Ka-ching, ka-ching, bear fruit. I've been bearing fruit, 14 people. Souls got saved today by me out evangelizing the streets. You know, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching with God, bearing fruit, right? Well, I really believe that because I was taught that. Right? Just like you guys, some of you were taught that. All right, so if I would have gone on like that, you know what? All that would have been burned up. Now, I wouldn't have been burned up because the scripture talks about it. We talked about it in 1 Corinthians where it says that anything that you build, that anything that you do that's not the will of God is like wood, hay, and stubble, right? Anything that you do that's not God is like wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burned with fire. but you will be saved. In other words, this scripture that talks right here about fire isn't talking about the eternal fire. It's talking about the fire that we're talking about in 1 Corinthians, where it says that if anything you build upon that's not the Lord, it's going to be like stubble, and the fire will burn it up. What's wood, hay, and stubble? Well, if you're out evangelizing and God wants you to be home raising your children, you know, I'll thank God for those people got saved, but you're not going to really get any fruit from any of that. You're not going to get any ka-ching, ka-ching with God on that, any fruit bearing, right? Because bearing much fruit has to do with doing the will of God to the highest level. The higher level you do it, the more you focus on the will of God instead of being torn by all these different things. The higher level of fruit you're going to bear. So he said, I want you to bear much fruit. And when Jesus says much, it's much, it's mucho, mucho, much, much, much. And he says, anything that doesn't remain in me is going to be thrown out as a branch, and it's going to be withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. Why? Because they become worthless. They're burned. And I wrote down here below this, saved by the fire. You know, everything you did was burned up, became worthless, but it says you were saved. What the First Corinthians says, you were saved. You know, the fire saved you. You know, it burned everything else that you had going on, and you ended up in heaven without, you know, anything much because it got burned up. Why? Because it wasn't that, oh, you can brag to God. Well, I did this and I did that, and but I don't know you. You know, because he said here, if you remain in me, if you remain in me, you're going to fellowship with me, saith the Lord. You're gonna know my voice. You're gonna know what I want you to do, and I wanted you to stay home and raise those children. And yeah, if somebody came to the house, or you ran across somebody at the store, of course, you know, went up to Jesus and shared Jesus with them, and every once in a while get on the phone and pray for people and intercede with you. And nothing, but if I've called you to raise those children, and you get distracted with 50% of your time you spend doing things that you think is really bearing fruit, and because your preacher told you you need to be doing this. God says, I'm going to burn all that up. Not going to mean anything to me. Now, you'll be saved by the fire, but the things you did will be destroyed. So, friend, the things that we do for God remain forever. That's what the beautiful stones is talking about, the gold and silver and stones, the precious stones, it says. The precious stones are the things that we do in the will of God. So if raising those children is all you really did, other than praying for a person here and there, And you focus 100% on raising those children the way God told you to do, you're gonna be standing up high in heaven with Billy Graham. His purpose was, you know, Billy Graham didn't neglect his family, but his children were neglected in a sense. You know, I mean, their father was gone a lot. You know, but if he was doing the will of God, which I think he was, then when he got to heaven, he's standing right next to the woman who raised her children. And did the full will of God, he's standing right next to, even with all the millions of souls that Billy Graham won, she will be standing right there next to him as far as the fruit-bearing ka-ching, ka-ching of God saying, you bore fruit because you did my will, both of you, Billy Graham and sister, you know, Mama Jama over here, did the will of God, raised those children, like I told her to, like I wanted her to, like I spoke to her to raise those children, love those children, gave her scriptures about it. When she prayed, I talked to her about her children. When she prayed, I talked to her about her. When she prayed, you know, I spoke. So she listened to my voice, and I spoke to her my word, and she remained in my word, and my word remained in her, and she remained. In other words, remaining means 100% did the will of the Father. Just like the same Billy Graham did by winning millions of souls to Jesus, and they both are going to stand in the same reward system of blessing, because God doesn't compare, like the woman who had the two mites and the millionaire who had given all their money. He doesn't compare it like we do. Oh, he won millions of souls, Randy. You'll be much better than that woman who raised her children. No. Because this isn't about how many things you did for God. It's about how much of it did you do. How much did you do of the will of God? Amen? How much of the will of God did you do? That's what matters. And it's the only thing that matters, friend. Everything else
will be burned up no matter how righteous you think you are about it, or me or anybody else. Doesn't matter. Right? So that's what we got to focus on. I feel so guilty. I'm setting people free of guilt and shame tonight because you felt like, and condemnation because you felt like, man, you know, I should have been focusing on, you know, doing all this stuff for Jesus. And you know, I could have had my babysitter come over and, you know, 2 or 3 hours and, you know, been with my children for maybe 4 or 5 hours. I could have been out, you know, winning souls to Jesus and bearing fruit. But no, I stayed, I go home to my children and, you know, okay, I'm doing that, but I can't wait till tomorrow till I get out and win souls. And God's going like, I rebuke you. Wake up. I've called you to raise those children. Some people, some women, some mothers have a beautiful anointing to evangelize and raise their children and evangelize whoever they're around. You see what I'm saying? It's not one thing or the other, friend. It's the will of the Father. That's what he's saying. If you abide in me, you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you're going to ask whatever you desire because you know what you're asking? You're asking everything within the will of the Father. It's not about being able to ask for how much money you want and getting all of it. How much of whatever a thing that you and land and property that you want and getting it. You're not talking about that. It's talking about the will of God. If God wants you to have 1 million acres of land and you get 2 million, he only tells you to get 1 million acres of land, and you get 2 million and thinking, right, look at all this extra stuff I did for God. God's going like, the 1 million, that was the will of the Father. The rest of it, sorry, you're not going to get any reward for that. And you didn't spend the time on the 1 million acres I told you to take care of. Instead, you got the 2 million, you got busy trying to take care of it, and you lost track of 100% of my will taking care of the 1 million acres I told you to take. Because, friend, it's not about how much we're doing for Jesus. It's what he's speaking, remaining in him and letting his word, what does his word do? It speaks to you about what you're called to do. Not about just doing things, not just about winning souls, not just about giving your money away. Well, we always keep, everybody gets their tithe and offering, no matter who you are. Yeah, everybody gets their tithe. The tithe belongs to God, right? We're not talking about, you know, that belongs to God. There is no option on that. That's the will of the Father. That is the will of the Father. So what are we interested in doing? The will of the Father. There are some things that are the will of the Father, no matter what you're doing. One of them is, you know, in the money realm, is your tithing. That's the will of God. You don't give your tithe to the poor and the needy. You don't, go look at the Word of God. The Word of God says the tithe belongs to the storehouse. And then the storehouse gives to the poor and the needy, or you can give your offerings to the poor and the needy all you want to. But that tithe belongs to the storehouse, friend. And if you're doing something other than the will of God, guess what? You're not going to be blessed. You're going to be cursed. You know what cursed is? Cursed is the blessing of God missing from your life. The curse is the blessing of God missing from your life. That's what the curse of God is. It's not like he curses you like puts a curse on you. Now the devil will do that, but that's not what God's talking about. If you obey his voice, right? Me, he says, if you remain in me, if you obey my voice, and then hearken to my word and do what I say, all these blessings will come on you. If you don't hearken or remain in me, all these curses will come on you. Would God curse his people? He's not cursing his people. He's just saying, you're not going to have the blessing on you. If you don't have the blessing, that means you don't have protection. You don't have help from above, right? Yeah, you're cursed. Curse means you're a Christian or you're an Israelite or whatever you are, and God can't protect you. You know why? Because number one, you're not doing his will. Amen? Yeah, and you're not obeying his voice. So obeying his voice is what's important, not becoming guilty, feeling like if I'm not doing all these spiritual things, that's what bearing fruit is, and it is not. So I come to set you free of guilt and shame tonight, friend. Get you to focus on what the will of the Father is. Yeah. Hang on just a second here. Taking care of some
texting things here, people getting knocked off. Not knocked off like being shot. Right, knocked off by telephone interference or whatever. All right, I do see you, and I thank you for letting me know about that. 585, and I will get you. I saw you there, person line, and we will get you first because I saw you there. So I'm glad you're there. Glad you told me about it, and we will do that. All right, thank you. All right, so there you go, friend. Bear much fruit. All right, let's get with the program tonight and start praying for people. Thanks for being with us. I'm going to take 585 first. And make sure that they're there. Okay. Give me just 1 minute. I'll be right back. Probably less than a minute. Be right back. And we're going to start taking our callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. And get ready for, we're about to begin to prophesy. We'll prophesy every person who's called in tonight. And if you can remain on the phone, remain. There you are. If you can remain on the phone, we'll get you. And even if you don't answer the phone, I will prophesy over you anyway. So try to give me your first name. We'll ask for your first name, not your last name, just your first, and what state you're from. That's all I need to know. Okay, I'll be right back. All right, welcome everybody to PGN tonight. We're going to be prophesying over you, praying for you tonight. Thank you for being here. And let's start out with our first caller tonight, 682-806. I want to talk to you from, please.
Cynthia from Mississippi.
Yes, hi, Cynthia. All right. Okay. Our number got knocked off was anonymous. I just figured that out. So, anonymous, you'll be my second caller instead of my first. So, all right. Thank you, Lord, for Cynthia tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this whole bearing fruit message tonight. God, I thank you for liberating her, Father, from all condemnation, from all the things that we think we're supposed to do and accomplish, and kind of find out, oh, this is just doing the will of God. Of course, what is that, right? What's the will of God for my life? Let me tell you something, Cynthia. When we start finding out that the will of God, the bearing fruit, has nothing to do with how many souls we win to Christ, but doing the will of the Father, which involves that, of course, at times. Some people, they spent their whole life doing. Some, it's just something that they, you know, it's what God thinks is important, not what we think is important, right? And so, as God is ministering this message to you, it's going to set you free. You're going to find yourself being free from loads of condemnation from things that, you know, I should have been doing this, I should have been doing that, I should spend my time, but here I am at work, and I should be, you know, out there doing whatever. You know, and God liberating you from condemnation and from guilt and shame, which most Christians deal with it because of, you know, preaching the word without true revelation on it. It's why we need a revelatory word, because it helps us understand what the word of God really is saying, what bearing fruit really is. Find that bearing fruit is the will of God, then we start focusing on the will of God instead of a certain thing. You know, he says, you cast out devils, heal the sick, prophesy. But get away from me. I never knew you. And that's why Jesus said, you must remain in me. Remaining in him means you remain in his will. And so, Lord, I thank you for opening her up to this whole place, setting her free to walk in the will of the Father. Lord, to start understanding what the will is. Because we think the will of the Father is being an evangelist when we're not an evangelist. When we think the will of the Father is being a prophet when we're not a prophet. And we prophesy all these years and did all these things. You know, learned how to do things and, you know, then God can say, you know, you prophesied. Yes, I prophesied. I cast out devils. He said, get away from me. I never knew you. Like, it did no good. It had no purpose in it. So thank you, Jesus, for setting her free tonight. Thank you, Lord, for liberating everyone tonight and setting her free, Jesus, from all the guilt and shame and condemnation that comes with the preaching of the gospel, that it's not really the gospel, but it's just man-made religion trying to get us all to do the same thing, right, which, you know, totally contradicts the word of God. Everybody's called to do different parts. Every part is important. The eye is important. It's important as a little toe. You know, try to cut your pinky toe off and see how you walk, all right, or your big toe. I had a friend who got his big toe cut off. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal until he didn't have it anymore. He's had a limp, had a little bit of a gip in his walk, or whatever you want to call it, you know, because of a big toe.
Same thing with the little toe. Everything matters. Everybody's trying to be a big toe or a little toe or a big finger or be the big eye. And all we are is one big eye. We're a monster. We're a beast. And so I thank you, Jesus, for opening her up, God, to this new place, this new thing, understanding. God, it's about your will. About your will. In Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, so when we start focusing on that, then God can open up his will to us. Because now we're not pushing him away, saying, oh, I got to go out there and win people to Jesus every day. You know, unless that's what you're called to do. You know, it's like, where do we get that from? Where does that come from? Well, if it's not coming from God, then it's getting us to do things that are adding to. When you add to, you water down. Like a recipe, you add too much water to it, you water it down. Right? You got to do exactly what the recipe says, but it has a purpose to it. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to follow the recipe for her life in Jesus' name all the way and find herself in such fulfillment. What God says, I want you to be fulfilled. God's trying to fulfill you, right? Yeah, not get you to do things, but to fulfill you and find out what fulfillment is. Fulfillment is the will of God only. And I thank you, Lord, for opening her up, God, and blessing her finances, God, in Jesus' name, so she can be blessed and have confidence that you're provided for her, that you are her father, amen, in Jesus' name. And she has inheritance coming to her in Jesus' name, amen. All right, 610-969, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy, shalom. This is Lisa from PA.
Hi, Lisa. All right.
Shalom.
There's somebody else here. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, you didn't ask for any other prayer for anybody else, so we'll just pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for Lisa tonight. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her. Thank you for her everything with her hospital stuff, all the stuff going on, and a blessing that we're coming through that accident. God, we just thank you for blessing her for that, adding and increasing her, and opening her up, Jesus, to being supervised. Supervisor, to be a supervisor in the kingdom of God. Yes, hang on a second here. No, I did forget Anonymous. I forgot Anonymous. Cynthia said, don't forget Anonymous. I'm going like, I already did. Are you kidding me? Anonymous, I forgot you again. I'm going to keep Cynthia's text right in front of me so I won't forget. You know, y'all know me. I'm just like, wow, yeah. All right. It's all good, though. God is good. Thank you, Cynthia, for that. Some of the things that go on are really hilarious. Thanks for doing the will of God, Cynthia. Amen. Bless you. May you be fulfilled in that. Amen. He wants you fulfilled. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Lisa, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for just making her happy, God. You just let her be happy. Making her happy. Happy is doing the will of God. Happy, blessed and happy is he who, you know, is a peacemaker or whatever. Blessed and happy are those who are meek, you know. You know, the whole thing about being blessed and happy. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this simple, basic thing of just making her happy, Jesus. Her joy is serving you. But, Lord, what is serving you? There's always things and people that were involved in their life that are part of that, God, and I ask you to fulfill all that and bring that to pass in her life, Jesus. The people that belong to her, the people that belong in her life, the people that, and the purpose that she has in her own personal ministry and intercessory before you, Father, that be satisfied and fulfilled. And that, Lord, you just make her happy, God. You just want her to be happy, Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to make her happy. I mean happy the God way, the Bible way, the Matthew 5 way. Amen, in Jesus' name, that she will fulfill all those things. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? All those things, that she will find herself reading Matthew 5 and find herself being a happy God. Amen. Yeah. So when we find out what true happiness comes from, then we do those things, and the happiness is, true happiness is the happiness that comes from God. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you that, yeah, what a simple word, but what an amazing word. Thank you, Lord, for that, and that's her family and all those. In Jesus' name, and let her find herself being happy, happy, happy with you, the happiness of God, the joy of the Spirit,
and being content with her life, God, where she's at and what's going on, that in Jesus' name, she's learning how to be supervised by you, God, that you're supervising her and everything that she does, letting her know that, you know, when you get a supervisor, somebody who watches over you, to make sure you get it done, right? Yeah, because sometimes, you know, we don't know what the will of the Father. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in, he supervises. He leads, he guides, he imparts information. He's our supervisor. There you go, Lisa, your supervisor. He's going to be supervising. Right, and making you a supervisor, or you can supervise. All right, 214-646, I'm going to talk to the company.
Hey, Randy, it's Karen from Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, the Texas people. Yeah, they had Terrence and Deese had a show on Wednesdays. Nobody knows that, I think, but we send out those alerts, so make sure you listen to them as they speak the word of the Lord to you and, you know, and give you information to build you up and to keep you on track, keeping you on track. Well, I thank you that everything that gets off track, God, that you you know, opening Tanisha to that whole realm of getting things back on track and getting things back on track, 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 back on track. Yeah, back on the track, back on the track. Things, sometimes things in our life, different parts, like we can have this long train, you know, it's a big old long train with it's just like lots of cars, lots of box cars, and you're going down there, and it's like, sometimes some of them get off a little bit, and we got to get them back on track again, right? Like different parts of our life, you know, we're doing really fine in 50%, 80%, and then that, you know, got those couple of things need to get back on track again to line everything up. Well, I thank you for getting things back on track, God. Just a very simple word tonight, back on track. And through her prayer, through her intercession, God, teaching her, showing her more and more how to intercede in behalf of getting things on track. On track is, of course, the track is the will of God. And we thank you, Lord, that that as her and Terrence, you know, are walking in that place where walking in the will of God or walking in the tracks of Jesus, following the tracks of the Lord, the footprints of Jesus, using it and getting things back on track. You know, like we can be on track, but we have our children. You know, we have different situations around us that need to get on track. And anything that hinders that getting on track, God, we ask you to deal with that. In Jesus' name, to where, you know, can flow together, work together, that all things begin to work together. All things. Every caboose, every car, every part of the train, from the front to the back, you know, working together, God. Everything on track, working together. Because when everything's working together, I just got that. I got to look at that. Hang on a second. Let me get this. I think I just got something here. I just have to keep trying until I get it going on. Okay. Things work together. Let's go there. I just want to look at that for a second. I won't stand there long, I don't think. Romans 8:28. All right. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And we know that in all things God works for the good. That's not the one I want, but I like that. They're pretty good. Here we go. The New Living Translation is a good one. Even the Berean Bible, Standard Bible, is a good one. And we know that God works all things together. The New Living says, causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There's a purposing again for them. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you for Tanisha, God, that this is a scripture that you're going to bring to fulfillment. Well, everything begins, every car going down the track of her life, of her ministry, of her calling, her family, and her dominion area, her area of dominion, God, will work together for good. Even the things that the enemy tries to come in, God, you're going to work those things for good. Every demonic-inspired thing, every human, you know, for years, Tanisha, I said,
I've been talking about Joseph saying, you know, using the scripture, saying that everything that Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. That's not what it says. When you read it, it says everything that those men meant for evil, right? I mean, I had to change my thought. One day I was going, that's not saying what I thought it said. I look back at it and it says, in Joseph's story, it says, the things that men, that his brothers, meant for evil. You got to read that, girl. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you already have a bunch of times. But I just kind of like one day I went, the quote is a good quote, I was saying, but it wasn't the correct quote. The correct quote was, what men meant for evil, God worked it out for good. Whoa. Yeah, somebody needs to get a hold of that. That's pretty simple. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go past that. Hang on a second here. Let's go ahead. What men, let me get the exact scripture, meant for evil, God. Yeah. Genesis chapter 50, 20 says, you intended to harm me. Whoa, girl. Woo. Chikamawate. Okay. Let's read verse 19. But Joseph replied, this is Genesis 50. Oh, 50 is a good number, too. 50, verse 19 and 20. But Joseph replied, do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. No, am I in the place of God? You know, in other words, he said, I'm not in the place of God. As for you, what you intended against me for evil. Woo! God intended for good, in order to accomplish a day like this, to preserve the lives of many people. Therefore, do not be afraid, as I should kill you if I was at God's place. No, oh my God, I'm not in God's place. Therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So Joseph reassured his brothers and spoke kindly to them. Whoa. I mean, you know, that's after they, you know, they weren't doing it anymore either, but. Girl, that's like hot right there. Woo, that nails a thing or two. You chikawate. Yeah. Wow. Even though I got that a few weeks ago, God straightened me out on it, right? Even though the statement I made is a true statement, what Satan meant for evil, God meant for evil. But this particular thing says what his brothers meant for evil. When I'm talking about that, that's amazing. Yeah. So work. But I'm thinking all things working together for good, like, okay, that's where I'm supposed to go. And then the Lord said, go to the scripture, I want you to read it. I'm going like, okay, so I'm going there, right? Read it many times. And boom, man, it hit me, and I had forgotten about that. And all of a sudden there it was. Joseph's brothers did that for evil, meant it for evil. God turned it for good. Woo, chipepe, que la roca panda. All right, Terrence, I think that goes for you, too. I'm like, wow, dude. Man, I mean, I don't know why that hit me. That just hit me. I mean, it just came together. All things work together. That just kind of came together for me right there for y'all. Wow. That puts the rubber at the road. Say that. Well, the rubber meets the road. That's right. The rubber at the road. That was bad, Chandler. That was really bad. Where the rubber meets the road is the truth that what his brothers meant for evil. I'm not saying what his brothers meant for evil. Wow. How do you pack that up with love against principalities and powers? I don't know, man. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, y'all heard me talk about this where I've asked God many times. I said, you sure you get that right? That we're not wrestling against flesh and blood because it sure seems like it. Those people are like the devil, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I've argued with God about that, you know, in a nice way, of course. Are you sure about that? You sure you didn't get that mixed up? They didn't misquote that or something? And then you read that. You can read about Judas, too. It said when Judas became filled with Satan, that Jesus called him evil. Yeah, called him evil when he became filled with Satan. Before that, he was just a regular movie. When the Antichrist gets filled with Satan, then he'll be an evil person. He'll be a principality and power in him will be one. Father and Jesus were one. The principalities and powers, you know, the Antichrist and Satan will become one, which will make him an evil person. Not everybody's evil. Some people do evil things. You know, yeah, but that's okay. Anyway, there you go. All right, Terrence, Tanisha, there you go. It kind of fit together, both of y'all, I think. So, man, that was like, wow. It hit me. All right. Okay. Anonymous. I'm forgetting Anonymous. Anonymous? What is going on tonight? I'm just messing with you tonight, big time. All right, Anonymous, I finally got it. Thank you, Jesus. And when I start getting in the Word, bro, y'all, I just forget about this. I just get focused on that and thank God for people remind me. All right, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Anonymous tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Anonymous, for the suffering. For the suffering. God's going to start showing you how to understand your sufferings. But if you can understand your sufferings, Anonymous, if you can understand your suffering, that changes everything when you can understand them. People don't understand their suffering, just like we're talking with Terrence and Tanisha, you know, suffering certain things. And the Lord comes along and he says, you know, sometimes he says, rest my good flesh and blood. But other times he says, you know, like Joseph told his brothers, he said, what you guys meant for evil. He didn't bring the devil into that at all. Right? He said, you meant it for evil. And so all of a sudden, boom, the suffering that Joseph had gone through, he realized that, yes, I know they knew the devil was real back then, but he literally put the blame on his brothers and said, don't worry, brothers, I'm not going to kill you. Because they literally all thought, except for a couple of them, thought that Joseph was going to kill them because of the hell that they took him through. You read the story. You got to read this. Yeah, you can get Joseph in your life. Oh, my God. Some of the stuff in his life is, like, so revelatory for us today. You know, one way or the other, you'll get something out of it because it is amazing. So, Anonymous, understanding your suffering. So if a person can understand their suffering, like Joseph understood his suffering. He suffered from his brothers. But he also realized that what they meant for evil, his brothers meant for evil, that God was going to turn it for good. Then he understood the purpose for his suffering. If people don't ever understand the purpose for their sufferings, then they go on just, you know, can't figure out why God didn't this and God didn't that and all this, you know, like we all do, right? Purpose for your suffering. God's going to begin to reveal to you the purpose of your suffering. Some things you're going to be saying like Joseph, what those people meant for evil, God meant it for good. And some of you are going to be saying what Satan meant for evil, God means for good. And sometimes you're going to be saying, you know, look how many times I brought stuff on myself. Sometimes we bring stuff on ourselves. We gotta blame it, everything on everybody else, everything else. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. No condemnation with it. It's just the truth. Be not mocked. God is not mocked. And be not deceived, right? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, you're going to reap it. Sometimes what we reap is our own stuff. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's what others do. So we got to know the battle, know what our sufferings are, and deal with it. Amen. All right, so all right. Thank you tonight. 769-220. This is Chris and Andrika. All right, I think that's. I don't know if they're there or not. All right, they always send me a text saying I might be asleep when I get on there. All right, Chris and Andrika, thank you, Lord, for that word tonight about, you know, God has designed you to bear much fruit. You know, I think I've even said that to you before. You know, and when I thought about that work, and I thought about you, and I thought about y'all, and I thought about that situation, you know, like, God, you have called them to bear much fruit. Everybody's called to bear fruit, right? It's like, he says, to those who abide in me and let my word abide in them and ask whatever they will. See, it's the asking whatever you will. People ask whatever they will all the time, but they're not abiding in him, and he's not abiding in them, right? The word of God is not abiding in them or remaining in them. It kind of comes and goes, here a little, there a little, fits when they want it to, doesn't fit when they don't want it to, that kind of thing. But the word says, if you will remain in me and let my word remain in you, that you will ask, then you will be able to ask whatsoever that you will. Because why? Your will is the will of the Father. And when he's walking in that, that is the thing that produces much fruit. It's not about stopping everything you're doing and being an evangelist. You're called to do those things with cars and raise your children. man, that's bearing fruit for you. We got to break the guilt and shame off people for not doing, like, everybody's supposed to be an evangelist. I mean, like a full-blown evangelist. If everybody stopped on the mission field, there wouldn't be any food. I don't know whether I can say that or not, but there wouldn't be a whole lot of production going on. It's going to be, you know, sending them over there. You know, you got to have people working. Those people working are doing the will of God. Those people out there making money for the kingdom, they're doing the will of God. If they stop doing the will of God and go evangelize people, oh, I'm out winning people to Jesus, then going like, you know, get away from me. I don't know who you are. I don't care how many people you want to Jesus. I told you to get a job, go to work, and I'm going to bless you in the money making business. And you're gonna help my kingdom. That's what my will for you is. That's where you're gonna bear much fruit in. And because he made $1 million a year, a week, a month, whatever he did, you know. And it's like he obeyed the Lord with what he was. He says you bore much fruit. Somebody else gave $20 million. You know, $20 million was their what they're supposed to give. And the other one gave $1 million that was he supposed to give. They're both going to stand in the same line with the same reward. Because they both fulfilled 100% the will of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for breaking loose, setting Andrika free, setting Chris free, God, of any condemnation, any kind of thing, religious thing that would have been put on us that, you know, well, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. Well, you know, just get in the Word. As you've gotten in the Word, you abide in me, saith the Lord, you abide in Jesus. Let his word abide in you, and then you start what you desire, the things that you love doing. If you love doing what you do, you know, we always have bad days in our job and what we're called to do. I have days where I'm like, you know, like Monday, I took off Monday because there's so much going on. I took off, and it's like, you know, I used to feel really bad about that when I did that. And, you know, so, doing the will of the Father, man. That's what I'm about. God's going to set us free from condemnation. Like, we're performance-oriented. And if we're not performing all the time, and we're not doing it perfectly, there's something wrong with us. And it's not true. We go through battles. We have struggles. Even in the callings that we have that we love doing. Right? So thank you, Jesus, for setting Andrika free and Chris free from any unnecessary information about what bearing fruit means. Like, how many people do you win to Jesus this year? How much money did you give to the poor and needy this year? Oh, bragging people. Well, I gave 40% of my God, whatever. Well, if God just told you to give 40% to your church and you gave it to the poor and needy, you just wasted all that money. You see what I'm saying? Oh, but the money we went to the God. No, God tells you to do what he tells you to do. You got to do what he tells you to do. That's what very much fruit is. The job you have, the children you raise, and finding that balance on how to do the will of God, to the fullest, not neglect your children, not neglect what you're doing, and do the full will of God, and watch God go, man, you know, yeah, you did the full will of God. And maybe you didn't win one perfect person to Jesus in your life. Maybe you prayed for a few, of course. You never really personally won anybody to Jesus. That's not bearing fruit. It's the will of the Father. God, I ask you to loosen them and set them free, Jesus, from every bit of condemnation, every bit of guilt. Even if I put it on them or any preacher, anybody, anywhere, told them all these things of what fruit is, and it not be true. Loosen them, God, and set them free. Wash them and cleanse them tonight, Jesus. Let them know that abiding you as a person, Jesus Christ, and then let the word of God, the word that he speaks to you, Andrika, in Jesus' name, that gets inside of you, Chris, to cause you to abide in him, and then you're going to find yourself asking God things, and he's going to give you every one of them. See, that's the true bearing of fruit. You can tell when you're bearing fruit because when everything you ask for happens. Not exactly when you ask always, but it always happens. Why? He says, whatsoever things you ask, you shall have. Every whatsoever and everything. It's not, so what is it? When you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you. What is it developing you? Your desires come from God. He said, God, I want you to do more with those cars. I want you to do more with those people. I want you to do more with it. And he's saying, well, God, how can I do more?
said, just say, okay, let it be done to me according to thy word, God. That's all you got to say. And then God starts producing you desire to do things. And you find yourself desiring and praying and saying things. And all of a sudden, that starts to get blessed. Those things start to come together. You go, oh, my God, this is amazing. Everything I'm touching, yeah, everything we can touch can be turned to fruit for God. Everything we pray, he said, what's everything you desire when you pray? You shall have them. Why? If you're abiding in him. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for letting Hendrika focus on bearing fruit the will of God way, not the religious way, the will of God way for them, for what they're called to do. Amen. In Jesus' name. So there will not be that tearing away of, well, you know, because you're not doing this, you're not really spiritual. Some people pray a lot. Some people pray a little bit. And the people that pray a little bit can get more done than those who pray a lot. Some people are called to pray a lot, and they get a lot done, and they're praying a lot. You can pray a little bit and get the lot, get whatever God's having you pray about, and that little bit that gets done, that's hundredfold right there. If somebody prays all day long because they're called to pray all day long, then what they get done, you're both going to be staying on the same line. You prayed 5 minutes, they prayed 5 hours. You're both going to be staying on the same reward and getting the same reward from God, the same level. Lord, set them free. Set us free in Jesus' name and wash us and cleanse us, God, from any guilt and shame, from religious spirits, from religious teaching, from things that look really right, seem right, but they mess us up because they keep us from doing the will of the Father. We're going to brag about how, oh, we prophesied, we cast out devils. He said, you know what? Get away from me. I don't even know who you are. He said, abide in me. I don't know who you are. Abide in me. I don't know who you are. Abide in me. Right? Abide in me is doing the will of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. I know this is a lot. I'm saying this a lot, but this is something powerful God's releasing tonight. Amen. Setting people free in Jesus' name. All right. 863-268. Am I talking to you from, please?
Hello?
Hello. Am I talking to you from?
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki from Florida.
Hey, y'all. All right. Hey, good to have y'all. All right. Charles just had his knee replacement, and Nikki didn't. So I don't know what that means. Maybe because Charles is praying more on his knees. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I don't know why I always mess with Charles, but he's my brother. But thank you, Lord, for Charles and Nikki. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your providing for them, your purposes, your will. Yeah, they're singing a new singing a new song. Sing that, you know. The other day, I heard somebody just start singing. They used to sing all the time, and I'd be around them. They'd always humming and singing, and they weren't really doing that much lately. I'm going like, I never really paid that much attention to it, but it kind of seemed a little weird. And then all of a sudden, I saw them like, you know, it used to drive me nuts. You know, when I hear them do it, when I want a little peace and quiet, and I go like, oh my God, they're happy again. Are they? You know, it's like there's something's changing, something inside them, a God thing's going on. And so I realized, oh, my God, they're singing a song. You know, sometimes we're singing a song, you know, like heaven is full of music, right? Heaven is full of music, and heaven on earth is going to be full of music, too. So I thank you, Jesus, for the worship realm, for the singing realm, for the happy humming. Happy humming. I've never said it before. Happy humming. Happy hummingbird. Yeah, I went outside today, and this bluebird just like just talking to me. I mean, looking right at me. I even got my camera out, looking right at me, talking to me. I don't know what he was trying to do with it. He thought afraid I'm going to get his nest with him or something. But then he gets you. I'm walking around outside, and he comes over and just flies right. He's flopping his. He's like, you know, hovering over me. I'm going, like, what is going on? Is this God's blessing on my life today? Because I got a bird hovering over me, you know? And I just realized, I don't know what I didn't really figure out what he was doing. Anyway, so, but it's just like the hummingbird thing, you know, like it made me happy. It made me think, yeah, man, you know, God blessed me today. I got this dove-like looking bird, not really a dove, but, you know, hovering over me. Like in the Bible, it says in Genesis that the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, right? And then all of a sudden God said, let there be light, because he hovered over it. So there's something going on in that realm of hovering with God. Hovering with God, hovering with God, hovering over something. Hovering over something is like, mm-hmm.
and just hovering over that thing, praying over it, yielding it over, you know, like a hen, you know, hovers over that egg, hovers over that, you know, gets ready to lay the egg. It's like it's been born, you know, like chickens are born to hatch eggs, right? You know, so like it's like when they hatch, maybe get so excited, like, hey, I did the will of God. And it makes them happy. That hummies, that singing, happy humming thing, you know, makes them happy. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole place with Charles and Nikki, God. Just being happy. Just being happy. Yeah, I know y'all are happy people already. The Lord, I ask you to make them just really happy. You know, bless them, make them happy. Bless them whatever way that makes them happy, God. And I know it's your Holy Spirit. But your Holy Spirit does all different kind of things. God, I ask you to fulfill them in every fashion, every form, every way of your will, so they will be singing that happy humming song. Right, like that dove song of I'm abiding over you. Whatever you do, I'm abiding over you. I'm abiding over you, saith the Lord, saith the Holy Spirit. I see a hovering. There's something about that hovering thing. It's funny that I get that thing about that bird today because I don't think I've ever had that happen before. He just hovered over me, and I wasn't sure if he would like me or didn't like me. He didn't seem to be angry, but it's like he's hovering over me, like, let me know he's watching me. And that's what I felt like. Like, God is watching me today in a very unique way, right? Yeah, made me happy. So thank you, Lord, for just making them happy, Jesus, meeting their needs, making them happy. Amen. All right, 214-288. You want to talk to me from, please?
Pastor Randy, this is Daniel in Texas, Armin in Texas. And if you would pray for her son David's recovery.
Yes, for David. Thank you, Daniel. All right, thank you for that. All right, yes, we pray for David tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. David is Carmen's son, youngest son. We have a birthday on the same day, October the 7th. And she had told me about him before, and he had an accident, and we're praying for his full recovery. I think she said that his aorta got cut in the accident. He tried to avoid hitting somebody or something, you know, and trying to avoid it. It caused, I think, if I understood that right. So, Lord, we thank you for his love for you, Jesus. I thank you for his love for people, love for safety, love for protection, love for people. God, I ask you to bless him and make his love for him. Just show him how much you love him, Jesus. Reveal your love. Touch his body. Nurture him. Let his body, you know, the more you love yourself in Jesus, the more our body knits together. I find it out why God says, love your neighbor as yourself. To love yourself, you know, as your neighbor, neighbor as yourself. Because when you love yourself in God, in Jesus, your body heals up. Things heal up. So I thank you, Lord, for satisfying his soul with your love, Jesus. Just loving life. Just loving, you know, loving things, loving people, loving life, loving what he does, loving what he, and just in Jesus' name, David will start loving what he does, loving who he is. Amen. In Jesus' name. Cause his body to knit together, God, and become completely whole in Jesus' name, totally recovered in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then, Lord, we thank you for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen, God. We thank you for a new fresh anointing, God, of compassion, a new fresh anointing of covering and protection. I think that God's going to raise up people like Carmen, and Carmen, God's going to raise up people like you and others that are going to be like guardian angels. We're not angels, of course, but to be like the guardian angels over people, and to find that the devil really is out to kill people, wants to destroy people, and wants to take them out before their build life is done. And he sends guardian angels out to not only just to protect spiritually, but give information to. Because if we give people the right information, Carmen, you know, it brings them in line with the will of God and brings protection over them. So if they're thinking unprotected thoughts, in other words, thoughts that are not of God, and they get out from underneath the protection, you know, they get unprotected, right? It's called the curse of God. God isn't around cursing people like, I'm going to curse you. It has nothing to do with it. The curse of God is the blessing missing. It's the missing blessing. If you obey my word, you know, I will bless you. If you don't obey my word, you know, you will be cursed. You know what I mean, it's like people think, well, how can God curse people? He doesn't. He's just saying, hey, when you obey my voice, you're going to be blessed, and blessing means you're going to be covered and protected and blessed. Amen? And safe.
So, Lord, I thank you for Carmen, God, to help people get information that they need, to think the right thoughts, to get them in the right place under God, under his protection, believing for his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, like guardian angels. Thank you for Daniel, God. We thank you for Daniel. We thank you, Lord, for giving him a heart, Father, to father, and to father, you know, people, father men, young men, the father, you know, whoever comes in his life, God, in his way. You're going to bring people in his life, Father, to be a father, and it won't be burdensome. It won't be overwhelming. It'll just be like something you love doing, something you enjoy doing, something that, you know, that will satisfy you, something you almost, in a sense, be addicted to it, you know, in a good way. It's like, you know, food, we're really addicted to food. I mean, we've got to have food to live and water. So we're kind of addicted to water, if you will. Got to have the water. Got to have it. So he will have those addictions, God. An addiction in a sense that, he must do this because it's what he loves to do. And if he doesn't do it, you know, he doesn't feel love. You know, like when you walk, when you do the things God has you to do, you and you love them, you find yourself loving everything else. You find yourself having strength because when you walk in love and you love doing what God wants you to do, like nurturing, like being a father to certain people, certain situations that God brings your way. Sometimes people don't need a father to watch over them every second of every day. They just need somebody thinking about it. I remember the time that I gave that word to you about a suicidal thing, and you had already, you know, that had already, I can't remember the exact details on that, but that's kind of what this word reminds me of. Like you were already, you know, like God was showing you, you know, he's called you and connected you to help people. And I think that person wasn't even working for you anymore. I think he had gone on. I think he was thinking about committing suicide or something. Is that what that was? I can't remember. But it showed me that that heart that you have is a beautiful heart that God's given you. And like I say, people don't need you to be with them every minute of every day to be the father. They just know that they just have it. A father is somebody you sense you know is with you. You know, I'm not there with you physically, but you know I'm with you. And just to know that is a very comforting thing. And I thank you, Lord, for Daniel in that position you give him and that presence of God and the Father over his life. Amen. 2318, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Sandra and Robert from Georgia.
Oh, hey, y'all. All right, Sandra and Robert, thank you. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that conquering spirit. I sense a surge of conquering spirit on you and for you and in your behalf. You know, like a conquering spirit. Like I know the Bible says we're more than conquerors. Or I think it's something in the light of that, like being a conqueror, like knowing that, you know, no matter what it looks like, you know, it's already conquered. It's something, it's like something that you already know has been done, but then, of course, watching it all come to pass. And so I see you guys seeing things come to pass because you know that being more than a conqueror means that because you're in Jesus and you're on his side, that what God has designed for you to do in life, it's already been done. It's already been done. And all you do is, like, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I think this thing of walking in a conquering anointing means you'll be able to stand still without having to think you got to do a bunch of things, got to do a bunch of stuff. You stand still, listen for his voice, and if he says do nothing, you do nothing. Not doing nothing is the greatest thing to do. But the main thing is doing what he says, right? When he told Jehoshaphat to take the praisers and go out, get the praisers out there. Well, I hate to be in the band that day. The brothers in the band going like, what did Jehoshaphat say? We're going out in the, we're in the forefront. I mean, we're in the boys in the band, us. Oh my God. Yeah. He said, God's with you. Oh, well, God's with us. Okay. So they, what they were doing, they did something totally, completely different because they were walking in obedience to God. When you walk in obedience to God, Son of Robert, there's that conquering thing. You know that it's going to be done. You know it. We don't know the exact timing. We don't know exactly what the details are going to be. But in walking in the knowing that Christ has already done it because when he fulfilled his job, that's the last job that needed to be done as far as, you know, the conquering. He's more than a conqueror. It's already been done. And I thank you, Jesus, that giving them, giving Robert that security, God, knowing that it's not about what he does. It's about what Jesus has already done. And then when you walk in what Jesus has already done and start seeing it, start realizing it, that's why I take communion every day. It's like, communion because we're, you know, I'm believing you to show me what you've already done. Communion is about seeing what Jesus has already done. That's why I said, remember me. Remember me what?
Because I've already done it. I've already done this. It's done. But to get that is a whole other thing, you know. I'm talking about for all of us. It's a thing. The greatest revelation we can get, Robert, is to realize it's already done. And that cannot just be, you know, you can't just figure that out. That has to be imparted by the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the Word of God. You can confess it, saying all you want to, but until it's imparted, we ain't got it until we got it from Him. Right. So I thank you, Jesus, for impartation of that, an impartation anointing on Robert, God, and Sandra, in the name of Jesus, that conquering, more than a conquering spirit, that it's already done in Jesus' name. And they walk in that, in their understanding that, like, that's why I take communion, what I said earlier, because it helps me in the simplest little way to realize, okay, Jesus, just like today when I took communion, I went, Jesus, you've already done this. You've already done this. It's already done. And so when you relax and realize He's already done it, it's not that we don't do anything, but we don't try to do our thing. We don't just do anything. We do His thing. And we relax, rest, and we realize He's already done it. And He says, oh, yeah, by the way, Robert, why don't you, you know, do this particular thing and come in agreement with me on this. I got something I need you to do for me. So it's not you doing something for yourself. It's doing something for Him, right? And when you do it for Him, and he tells you, because if you're doing it on your own, you do it for him, right? But when you're doing it for Him, He says, hey, Robert, can you do this for me? You go like, yeah, Jesus, I got you. What, anything else? No? Okay, I'll do it for you. So you're not doing it for, to prove anything. You're doing it because He's told you to do it. He's asked you to do it. He's prompted you to do it. And you're doing it for Him, right, instead of just doing it to be doing something good. It's a whole different thing because He's already... When He gives the instructions, like in Jehoshaphat, He told them what to do. When they did exactly what He said, the deal was already done, already finished. Amen. You guys walking in that, in Jesus' name, I feel a new anointing on that right now, by the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go to 202-722. Hang on a second. 202-722, who am I talking to your company?
Hey, Brother Randy. This is Daryl Paul and Nicole calling from Maryland.
All right, the Maryland brothers and sisters. All right, I love it. I love that. It's some type of love thing. Ooh, I love. You feel that love right there? I felt that love right there. I don't know what that's for. What that is? I feel that love is in the air. I don't know what kind of love it is, but it's a love. It's love. I feel love. I feel love working. I feel love moving. I feel love binding. I feel love loosening. I feel love working. Because He said, if you abide in my love, ask whatsoever you will. Oh, if you feel, I don't know if you can feel it or it may just be on my end after that. Woo! Pawejo, pastor, calajante. Shikwa, wash them with your love, Jesus. Wash them with your love. Hallelujah. Wash them in your love, Jesus. I just feel like God's washing in love. I mean, what better thing to be washed in than love? Oh, my God. Wow, I felt that. I felt that strong. Woo! Wow, that's going right through my being. Maybe it's just something. Maybe y'all loosening the love anointing on me. I don't know what it is, but I feel it. My Lord and my God and my spirit being, my spirit man just like going, love. All you need is love. La da 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 da. All you need is love, love. And love is all you need. Yeah. Mokosheri po rapo. Akwane pa. Oh, you feel, I mean, I'm feeling waves of this stuff coming. Literally, it's the first time this happened. I mean, the waves of this stuff, like, my God, my Lord, and my God, satisfy them with your love, Jesus. Hope, the hope of love, the hope of love, and the love of hope. Hallelujah, the hope of love. All you need is love. My mom used to tell me, you can't live off love, Randy. I'm going like, I knew what she meant, but I'm going like, I kind of think, man, that ain't right. You can't live off love. Well, what she was saying is like, you got to go to work and get a job. Right? You can't live off love. So I remember thinking, yeah, I think I can live off love, Mom. I just got born again, too. I just got born again, filled the Holy Spirit, and I was in love with Jesus, man. And I loved myself for the first time, really, too, which is a lot of it. Holly, 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 holly. Changed my whole personality. Shady, 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 makotanana.
Let him abide. Let my brother abide in your love, Jesus, like never before. When you abide in his love, you walk in his desire. It's like when you walk in the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when you walk in that, woo, you just walk, you just know what to do. It's not like, what should I do today? You walk in love, you're just like, you just go, man. Like, you don't have to stop and figure it out. You're just like, yeah, I'm being led by love. Yeah, love is leading me. I mean, that's what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind. And your neighbor yourself. He said, it also talks about, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. Amen. Let that be done, God. Let that double covenant thing be done with Jesus' name. All right, 754-255. I'm going to talk to Ruth, please.
Hey, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Hey. All right. Good to have you up tonight. I don't know if y'all missed it or not. Oh, yeah, by the way, before I go to Donald and Tanya, I have really been getting messed up on my show thing with, Nicole has her show tomorrow morning, and so y'all get ready for that. She's teaching on the Book of Revelation. I think she's teaching on 144,000 right now. I don't remember what the last one was, but make sure you get that. I'm sending it to you guys, and get a hold of that thing and let God listen and learn and see what God might speak to you about. Really cool. All right, anyway, so that is tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Make sure and tune into your radio, internet radio, by your phone, and listen to the Word of God. All right? All right, okay, so we got Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for that covenant, God, that covenant. Oh, by the way, Donald was came on the show, and I haven't talked to Donald in a while. Finally, he got to come on with me, and it's so awesome. We had such a good time. And he was talking about how that Tanya, thank God for Tanya, reminded him of some things that had been going on with him. He just kind of got into this thing where he was working little and making a lot. Tanya says, thank you, Tanya. We love you. In Jesus, of course, you know, as your friends. And she says to Donald, she says, I think, she probably said, honey, I think Randy gave you a word about that you're going to work less and make more. You know, specifically, he went, you know what? I think you're right. I love that. He's been, like, working. His hours have just been the way God arranged it. And part of it came because he decided to, you know, love his family and work, you know, work around things that do less work and spend more time with his family, you know, and yet work hard at other times, you know, when he can work hard. And yet if he had a chance to be with his family, he would say, well, I'm not going to work today. I'm going to be with my family. And instead of spending time with the family just to get ahead, right? He made those choices, and they were beautiful choices. And so God just began to bless him, man. He said, Randy, it's not, all of a sudden I'm working, you know, little time and getting big pay. And he says, Tanya reminded me of the day that you had prophesied that to me not real long ago. And I went, you know what? I kind of vaguely remember that. That is amazing. Wow. So thank you, Lord, for that covenant realm. God, the covenant is what God has belongs to me when I'm walking in covenant, and what I have belongs to God, right? It's hard to beat. Because whatever you need, you say, Lord, Father, you know, I don't have enough of that. So whatever God has belongs to us. And you walk in covenant, friend, when blood covenant, when we're cutting blood covenant with God, it's the serious thing of saying, you know, like you were doing, Donald, with the kids, you're thinking like, you know, no, I'm not going to work on Sunday. I'm going to spend time with my family. You know, I can work other times. I can work any other time. I want to work on these days and spend time with my family. And God just kind of went. That was a sweet smelling savor. That was the word I give you then. I saw this sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of God coming from you, like a sacrifice you had made. Remember that? And you said, yeah, Randy, that makes sense because this is what God's showing me. He made a sacrifice for his family. I'm going to work any other time, and I'm going to work on certain days because I'm going to spend time with my family with that. And God honored that. It was a sweet smelling savor into his nostrils. And boom, I remember the timing on it, but almost right away, he got opened up to that thing where he was making, you know, a lot more money than what he was with a lot less hours, you know. So it's like, wow. So, God, we thank you for that covenant blessing on their life, God, in Jesus' name.
covenant blessing to multiply and increase, God, in Jesus' name, because he cut covenant. He said, God, I'm not going to, you know, work myself to death trying to make, you know, ends meet. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to spend time with my family and I work hard and spend time with my family. And so we can't time to spend time with my family. I'm not going to compromise that. And so God blessed him for that. And Jesus, we thank you, Lord. That was called cutting covenant, brother. Cutting covenant. Because when you're cutting covenant, you're cutting yourself in a sense saying, you know, I'm going to obey your word, God, whatever it costs me. Whatever it costs me, God says, it ain't going to cost you nothing. And I'm going to bless you. Yeah. Amen. So we're willing to pay the cost. The Lord says, you don't have to have already paid it. Sometimes he asks us to see if we will. Like he did Abraham. Abraham, will you? He said, I just wanted to see if you stopped him from killing his son. He said, I just wanted to see if you'd do it. I just wanted to see if you'd offer up your child to me, your children to me. Yeah. Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And so sometimes offering up our children is deciding to, not labor to make a living for them, but to give our life to them, right? Spend time with them and then trust God. That when we work hard, but we spend time with family, spend time with them. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. That was a sacrificial thing. Bless them in Jesus' name. Open them up and increase them and multiply them, God, in the covenant thinking realm, that they will begin to think covenant thinking in Jesus' name at whole different levels, God. All right, cutting covenant means, God, I'm not going to compromise here. I'm going to do what your word says with my family, and I'd rather be poor than you know that. So he sacrificed that. Thank you, Jesus. That's called cutting covenant. God's going to show you more and more how to do that. Amen. To activate those blessings. All right. 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
I have to tell you, I was thinking about you today when I got that information about bearing much fruit. I think about different people in different ways. God blesses people in different ways. You know, not everybody has the same thing. Some people are called to be wild, crazy evangelists, evangelizing all their life. Some people are called to, you know, do different things, do business, do things, and have ministry too. Some people can have do business and ministry, and God blesses that. It's just, you never know what God's going to have you do. So but when I heard that, I thought about Chris. It's one of the first people I thought about. And Andrika too. I thought about Andrika too at the same time. And I thought, you know, God's called them to bear much fruit, bear much fruit. If you called Chris, Lord, to bear much fruit, sometimes that's why you get pruned. You know, like when you get pruned, when you get pruned, you know, being willing to be pruned. You know, God chastens the children that he loves. In other words, he corrects us. The correction is to bear more fruit. It's like he says, Chris, we're going to cut this off. We're going to, you know, not getting rid of something bad. We're going to cut it down, and we're going to, you know, it's like every year, you know, you get out there, the tree, the palm, the trees we have in our yard. I get out there and I prune them. Why? Because they're bearing more fruit. I'm not cutting them away because they're not good. So God is like, because you let him cut away in your life and convict you and draw you. Therefore, you know, what's bearing more fruit? Bearing much fruit. And so I kept hearing the word much fruit, much fruit, much fruit. So Lord, I bless Chris tonight, God, with bearing much fruit in his prayer life, bearing much fruit in his asking and getting from God, because he's abiding in Jesus, he's remaining in Jesus as a person. Never forgetting he's a person. Jesus said, remember me. He didn't say, remember what I did. You know, I mean, what he did was important, because when you remember a person, first you remember what the person did. So we take communion. He says, remember, do this in remembrance of me. That's what I love about that, Chris. He didn't say, do this in remembrance of what I did on the cross. Of course, we know that's what he did, and we reverence that. But it's remembering him. Jesus, you're a person, and you suffered, and you died, and you gave your life for me. You know, like a real person doing this, not like some robot who didn't feel nothing and just did it just to do an act for God. No, he did it. He did it because, you know, it was, you know, he's a person. He's a human being, and he did it for love. That's why he said, remember me. When you do this, remember me. That's why he said in that scripture tonight, but bearing much fruit, he says, if you remain in me. He didn't say if you remain in my teachings only. If you remain in my, first thing he said is that, if you remain in me, the person of Jesus Christ, and then his word remains in you. Wow. What we get the word from getting your eyes on him. When you're remaining in him, the person, what does that person do? He speaks to you personally. Wow. And when he speaks to you personally, he shows you personally. We don't always know everything we're supposed to do. I don't ever know, always know everything I'm supposed to do. Sometimes I have to get slapped upside the head with some stuff. Other things I know, I'm sharp. You know, and other things I kind of halfway got it. You know, that's the way it is. But remaining in him, in the person of Jesus, you know, when I take communion, I remember Jesus, the person, not just, you know, what he, not just the work he did. The person who suffered it, the person who chose, the person who loved doing it, the person who did it for me, the person who did it for me. Wow. You remain in me. Ask whatsoever you will, Chris. Hallelujah. And it shall be done. So the bearing fruit is about remaining in the person of you. Remember me when you eat this. Man, just remember me. Yeah, I did a lot for you, but that's not about that. Remember me. Remember me, I'm a person, I'm a human being. I struggled with this. I battled with just like you battle. I chose to do the will of God. I chose to do the will of my Father. I was a person, not a robot. I wasn't God who did everything. No, I was a human being. You're a human being. That's why I make a good intercessor, why I make a good priest. Because I was a human being, like Chris was a human being. I feel you, know you. That's why I just want you to remember me, saith the Lord. I just remember the things I did, not just remember what my scripture says. Remember me as a person, a human being, God in the flesh, a real human being who is God. Wow. What an amazing thought. Woo, Pichero Pata. Akalabur Gemi Tambo. Omshendeka. May he bear much fruit, Father. May Christopher bear much fruit, Jesus. Yes, that means pruning. Man, when the fruit comes forth from that, double from last year, you're going like, woo, once we understand the principle of what pruning is all about, cutting away so that we can bear more fruit. It's when people don't let him cut away at them. So they don't bear much. They just bear the same fruit they bore last year, maybe one or two more apples, but not much. But you let him cut, and you got branches growing triple, double, triple amount of fruit, all because of pruning. Ooh, bear much fruit, man. Bear much fruit in Jesus' name. Blessed. Blessed. Be blessed and highly favored. Amen in Jesus' name. All right, 240-42. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. Valerie from North Carolina. All right, Valerie, get it. Thank you. Valerie, get ahead of you tonight. All right, thank you. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for Valerie tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that love realm for her, that abiding in the love of Jesus, living in the love of Jesus, remembering him, remembering who he is, who he was, what he is now. You know, the one who is and what, one who was, and who is to come. Right? The one who was? We remember the one who was. We think about the one who was. We read about him in the Bible. Right? And the one who is. The one who is with us today. Think about who he was, who he is. Because people just look in the Word, they just think about who he was. And they try to get some, you know, thought process on who he was to make it real for today. But the fact is, he was and he is. What's so amazing about Jesus is that, yes, we read about him in the Bible 2,000 years ago, look at all the things he did, the human being, but, you know, it's who he is, who he was, who he is. And then thinking about when you know who he is, just as your friend, as the love of your life, as the person who gave his life for you, and you start loving that and falling in love with him, and letting that love come and say, Jesus, thank you that you provided everything I need. You provided for me a husband, you know, your children, you know, family, home, house, blessings. God, we thank you that we don't have to be a part of the system. Amen, because Jesus is our system. Lord, I thank you for that. And Valerie, God, that she not only just looks at the Jesus who was, how beautiful that is, but the one who is, the one who is. And then when you realize who he is, you realize where the future's going to go. It's going to go his way. He's already won the battle. Every battle has been won, Valerie, as you know. In Jesus. Amen. So the future who was, who is, and who is to come. Wow, you got some stuff coming. Yeah, just think about first thinking about the things you got coming to you, Valerie. Obeying God. Think about the things you got coming for you from Jesus. Just meditate on that. Anything's good, anything's lovely. That's pretty lovely. Yeah. Valerie, that's lovely. Oh, my God. Yes. That's lovely. Thank you, Jesus, for being lovely. But he's not the mean, nasty, jealous. You know, he's jealous in the right kind of way. He's not, you know, the tyrant. He is a loving, kind, generous, giving person who gave his life for us, Valerie. That's who he is today. And, man, what he's paid for the future. God, I ask you to help her see what her future holds because of who she is with today, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless her with that knowledge. Bless her with that Holy Ghost knowledge, the Holy Spirit knowledge, Father, of who you were, who you are, who was, who is to come. The things that is to come, Valerie, is. They're not good English, but it makes a lot of powerful biblical sense. Who is to come. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, in her life. Come, those blessings. Come forth in her life. Come, will of God. Come, peace. Come, joy. Come, you know, all the things that are futile. Think God, making her life purposeful in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 901-501, let's talk real quick, please.
This is Daniel and David from Memphis, Tennessee.
Daniel and who?
Daniel and Debbie.
Debbie. Oh, yes, Debbie. Okay. Yes, Daniel. Good to
have you. From Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you very much. Daniel and Debbie. Lord, we thank you for Daniel and Debbie tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel and Debbie. We thank you, Lord, for Debbie, God, that you turned the lights on inside of her understanding. God, where she can understand, God, let her see things, let the light of God shine. You know, some people talk about, you know, the Holy Spirit woke me up one early one morning and gave me a word, pineal gland. I didn't know what that was, pineal. You know, I heard the word pineal, I'm going like, what's a pineal? I thought it was some spiritual creature or something, what it was. Then I found out it was part of the brain, you know, and part of the brain was a pineal gland. And Lord said, you know, I go, what are you telling me that for? He said, because it's important. I want you to study it, look at it, and pray, and, you know, ask me to show you more about the pineal gland, which is like kind of in, you know, in the middle of your head there. But very interesting. So I began to do that, and of course, I focused on some of the things that God showed me to do, how to work on, how to get that activated, because it talks about light. And when I saw you, when I started praying for Debbie tonight, I saw like a lantern with the light in it. And that I asked God to turn that light back on, God, that's been turned off, or it's been really, really low. I ask you to flame it up, God. Flame up the light in her brain, Jesus. Hallelujah. In her pineal gland, let the light shine. Let her be able to discern light from darkness, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The night from the day, in Jesus' name, in every way, night from day, in every way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, symbolism, this kind of thing. Open that up for her in Jesus' name. For Daniel, God, we thank you for Daniel. We thank you, Lord, for blessing him with peace. Thank you, Lord, for giving him confidence, God, and patience, how to, you know, endure and long-suffering, knowing that the fruit is ahead, God. Sometimes things come easy. Sometimes things come quick, Daniel, as you know. Sometimes, you know, work with us in the long-suffering area. Those are the kind of things where I lose patience. I get impatient sometimes, right? Because I'm trying to teach you long suffering, Randy, in some areas. Look at all the things you got blessed and it happened so quick for you. And look at the things that are starting to develop now over your patience. Remember the patience that you had about this and that and the other? Even I got a little patience sometimes, a little bit impatient sometimes with me. I'm going like, yeah, I remember that, of course. And you asked me to hurry up and do this. I said, I can't hurry it up. You know, I got to do it in time.
So it took time, and I've learned to learn patience. And now that patience that I've learned a little bit about is now beginning to develop fruit, you know, because the true fruit, sometimes it takes a little time to get that going. So I thank you, Lord, for our precious brother Daniel, God, that he walks in that patience that you've given him, and that peace, knowing that it's going to bear fruit, that he can look to the future and know that you're doing something awesome, Father, and that it is producing fruit for the future in Jesus' name. So we focus on not the fruit, but we focus on the root. We feed the root, take care of the root issues, the root things, the things that are really going on. Sometimes people focus on the fruit. They pluck the fruit off, and the bad fruit grows right back, or the problem fruit or whatever. We work, focus on the root, nurture the root, you know, get the disease out of the roots, then the fruit or the brain or the mind or the heart, the body begins to function normally. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for my brother. Thank you, Lord, for opening him up to that understanding about the light of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. All right. Hallelujah. Make sure and drink your water. I drink my water. It helps your brain flow. A lot of people get dehydrated and don't even know it. And the problems that they have a little bit of, they end up having a lot more problems. All it is their water. Many times, because water, it's like, no, if you don't have water, your radiator gets flat. What happens? Oh, yeah. Oh, your radiator, your engine gets hot. Everything gets hot. Things quit functioning. It can burn up the motor. I got to keep water in that radiator, water in that brain. Thank you, Jesus, for opening that up, Father. In Jesus' name, and bring that hope, Father, that true hope. Hope of, you know, that God, no matter what happens, we all end up in eternity. But we just don't want to lose our purpose on the earth. We want to fulfill our complete purpose on earth. That's why we strive to get healed and strive to get delivered. Not because we're just a bunch of selfish little brats. No, we want to fulfill the will of God. And and as your desire for that, Daniel, works and moves, and Debbie too, that your reason you want to be whole is to fulfill the will of God, not just to sit around and, you know, do whatever, but to fulfill the will of God, then the design and purposes of that thought process will bring light in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for my brother and sister. Amen. All right, 402-650, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha.
Hey, John. All right, John, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for John. Thank you, Lord, for giving him time, God, giving him the time that he needs to learn how to take time. Sometimes you have to learn how to take the time that you need, amen, to rest your body and rest your mind. Sometimes we rest our bodies, but we don't rest our minds. And if you don't rest your mind, I mean, I've told people over the years, you know, God would keep telling me, you know, you need to take a break, take a rest. Well, I like working. I like going all the time because I enjoy it. Why can't I go if I enjoy it? If I don't enjoy it, I can see you taking a break. No, it doesn't matter whether you enjoy it or not. You know, take that break. And so I warned this one particular person, you got to learn to take breaks. If you don't take your Sabbath, you know, one of these days, it's going to hit you. So sure enough, not long ago, got hit with something. Now all they do is lay around. You know, I don't know how long it's going to last, but, you know, so you just realize that our bodies are made. We've got to have rest. We've got to have rest. To rest our minds, too. Got to learn how to rest our minds. That's one thing I've worked on is, like, how to rest my mind. My mind is going, brother. So thank you, Jesus, for my brother, God. Teach him how to rest his mind so that he can get refreshing thoughts. That's refreshing thoughts. Refreshed energy is like new energy. If we keep going off the same old energy, that energy we're going off is old energy. And then we think old, we feel old, and we act old, right? But if we're working off new, you know, his mercies are new every morning with new energy because we've rested up and let our bodies and our minds are made to restore if and only if we rest them. If we don't rest them, it doesn't restore. It doesn't, like a battery, doesn't recharge. We're going off, you know, a weak battery. I can't figure out why we're not functioning right, and then causes us problems because people like going, what's wrong with him, her? They're not functioning at full potential. Yeah, you know why? Because most of them, they're not resting themselves. Yeah, and even those who are smart, if they would rest themselves, they'd find themselves being a lot smarter, getting a lot more done. Amen. So bless my brother, God. Give him your strength to rest and be able to partake of rest, the Sabbath of the Lord in his mind, whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whenever it is, take one day and try to relax that brain, that mind, that body.
Amen. And watch God restore and give back fresh new energy with fresh new ideas, with fresh new abilities because of that. Amen. All right, 984-227-7. You want to talk to Ruth Fenn, please? 984-277, hello? Hang on a second here. I'm answering text. All right, let's see if we can find 984. Are you there? All right, 984. Let's pray for 984. Thank you, Lord, for 984 tonight, God, that you've given them a new system. A new system is a new way, like Jesus said, the new wineskin, a new wine, new way. Try to put new wine or wineskin, it breaks. He said, Jesus himself said, but some people, you know, for a while, they still like the old wine, the old way of thinking, the old way of dealing with things. And sometimes we keep trying to solve the same old problems, the same old way. We're not getting any results, and we need to, you know, find a new way. It's always Jesus doing it. Find the new way, find the new thing. Amen. Get a fresh thought, get a new idea, get a new way of doing things, and a new, fresh approach to things. Lord, I thank you for that new, fresh approach from my friend tonight, in Jesus' name. God, that out of their belly will flow rivers of living ideas, rivers of fresh information, fresh thoughts, fresh anointing, fresh, that pray over their immune system tonight, God, that their immune system will become powerful and strong and will fight things that normally they can't fight. Like, you know, I'm not a doctor, I don't recommend things, but I know Echinacea for me, Walmart is the best kind, and I use Echinacea to help my immune system, physical immune system, and it's amazing what it does. So whatever they're doing with their immune system, God, I take Echinacea not because when I get sick, I take it on a regular basis because it keeps me from having, for me personally, creeping up on me that I don't know about. Yeah. So one of the things you can have is preventive herbs and preventive things. You know, we always do what our doctors say, but you know, if your doctor won't let you do natural things, get another doctor. Amen. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I know it's 94 who this is, but let Jesus open that up for you. Amen. And show you the new way. Amen. The Holy Spirit way. The Bible way. Yeah. God's way, in Jesus' name. The things that God has made will heal you. The things that Jesus has provided when he made everything in the earth, all the food, everything we have, he provided that for us. If we do it and do it right, our bodies will, for the most part, be healthy and whole. If we quit doing what he provided with for us to have and do manufactured things, then what we get a manufactured person that's not real and live and living. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for my friend. Teach him your ways, Jesus. Amen. All right, 903-808. Who am I talking to, friend, please?
This is Janie in Texas.
All right, Jeannie has shows on Monday, and so pray for Jeannie, and her and Hollis had a little trouble with the cold or flu, whatever it was, for a few days. I think they're much better now. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for her immune system, God. We just thank you, Lord. Here I'm praying for her immune system again. Thank you, Lord, for her immune system, not just her physical immune system, but that her spiritual immune system, because when our spiritual immune system is working, when something comes in and tries to attack us, our spiritual immune system just goes to work. It starts, you know, automatically just working the thing through, you know, like our brains, our minds, the way that God made them in the original healthy whole brain. God made our brain to, you know, to deal with things, to function and work things through. And, you know, we have a spiritual immune system. You know, sometimes when kids are kids and they have bad things happen to them, their mind has a way of, you know, forgetting that, because remembering it is painful. So one of these days they need to get that out of their brain, but out of their mind, out of their memory. But God has a way of, you know, it's an immune system that we have. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching Jeannie about this immune system that we have in every area, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally, and how to, you know, to strengthen our immune system. Of the things that we partake of in the Word of God, and what scriptures and what things that we eat of the Word of God that are like I do when I have Echinacea, or other things. I eat foods that help my immune system too. I do a little bit of both. I do vitamins, minerals, different things, and I also eat foods that are specifically good for that part of my body and for my immune system. And so, like, you know, garlic is a good thing for your immune system. There's many things that are good for your immune system. Pomegranate juice is good for that. So there's many different things in the natural realm and the spiritual realm. God, I thank you for showing her all the whole immune system area, emotionally, mentally, that part of the immune system, how God set it up, how, what makes it work, what helps our immune system when it's weak, our emotional immune system, when we're feeling attacked, we can't seem to get rid of it. It's like when we get sick, and then we get something, it seems like it goes on and on and on. End that. How do we stop that? By kicking our immune systems in, our spiritual immune system, our emotional immune system, our physical immune system, all of it. Yeah, all of it. So, God, I thank you for teaching her that, showing her that stuff. Lord, in Jesus' name, so she can not only walk in it, but teach it to other people. Amen. How to stay healthy, how to, you know, it's kind of like having your armor on. And having your armor on means that when something hits you, because you get your you know, shield of faith on, it bounces off. Right? It bounces off. Instead of sticks with you for days, and finally it falls off, you know, 3 months later, falls off your armor. No, it hits and slides it off like Teflon. Amen. Like Teflon armor. I mean, I think we've talked about that before, Teflon. You know, things just hit and slide right off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the immune system is turning the other cheek. You know, sometimes offering the other cheek is spiritual. I'm getting this right now for the first time, okay, so I don't know what I'm doing here. Our spiritual immune, there's different things that Jesus gave us on how to fight battles or immune system words or information from God, from Jesus, that teach us how to fight pipes, right? Like how your body fights with his immune system. So does the word of God go, so there's certain things that we do, like, you know, do good to those who do bad to you, right? Bless those and do good to them. What is that? That's like taking echinacea or an extra boost of something to help your immune system to fight that battle of that thing that's trying to attack you. Woo, Jeannie, I think we're on something there. I just got that myself. I'm sure it's a lot more, but I think a great teaching. I'm going to have to take that. If you don't take it, I'm going to get it myself. All right, that was a good one. Put it into action, as we all need to. Our mothers and brothers will hear the word of God and do it. Do it. Just do it, Jesus. Help us to do it, Jesus. Help us. Help me to do it. Amen. Amen. That's really cool. I love that. I'm going to do a teaching on that pretty soon. If you'll be to it. All right, 781-775, you might talk to Ruth from, please.
781-775. This is Gregory and Martine from Texas.
Oh, no, it can't be. It is. All right, my brothers and sisters from Texas. Oh, my gosh, I bet that just really tore you up to say Texas, didn't it? Or maybe it really blessed you to say that. I'm sure Gregory's gotten used to that by now, right, saying Texas. He's a Texas boy. Amen. All right. Elon Musk became a Texas boy. I'm not an Elon Musk person. But, amen. A lot of people are becoming Texas people. God's calling them to Texas. The people God's calling them other places, Florida, whatever, wherever they're going. But thank you, Jesus, for that blessing, God, on Gregory and Martine, Father. Thank you for their new marriage. Thank you for what they're working through, what they're working out, God, how to do not just physical exercise, but how to do spiritual exercises. Because sometimes what we do is we get our bodies, you know, I'm not really a real bodybuilder at all, but I go to the gym regularly and try to keep my body halfway in shape until I got a little bit of a belly on me, you know, and just hate, but I'm trying to learn how to. Okay, Martin's asking me to pray. Can you please pray for my healing? Oh, you need healing. Okay. Yes, we'll pray for your immune system too, all right? I seem to be on the immune system thing. So we thank you, Lord, for Martin, God, and Gregory. Thank you, Jesus, for to go to the root of the issue with the healing issue, Father, with the healing in her body. God, I thank you for all the emotional, all the changes you've been through and all the things that have been going on. Sometimes those things affect us, you know, and weigh us down and cause us to have, you know, cause our body to not fight. It causes our immune system to, you know, kind of go on hold a little bit, or it's not as strong. When we have, you know, you have shock. I mean, you went into it, even though it's everything God wanted you to do and you wanted to do it, it's like the shock. Your poor body It's been in California all these years. Now it's in Texas, you know, and of all places, Houston. You know, anyway, so being in Texas, being in Houston, really cool. But, you know, your body's in shock. Your mind is in shock, even though you took your time, you know, moving over, it sounded like, which is probably why. But, you know, so I thank you, Lord, for dealing with that part. And so that her immune system, Father, began to kick in, Father, and that she finds comfort, that you find yourself, what you need to do. I'm just kind of like, when people go into a state of shock, I know when accidents, when I used to work the ambulance years ago, sometimes people would go be physically ill, even though there was nothing wrong with them, because they went into shock, I think. Sometimes, you know, when we move, when I moved from, you remember the story I talked about where I moved from one place to the other, one town to another town. I mean, you know, I was missed my grandmother, my great-grandma. Remember that? I told you about that. You know, I went in shock. I was in shock over that. I was like, man, I felt so bad. I left people behind. I left this town. I lived there for years. I was born in that town. You know, it's like I left. And it's like, so thank you, Jesus, for helping her, God, to just release all that, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the, you know, disappointments that she felt like she, you know, should have done this and shouldn't have done that and all the stuff that we do. I break up the spirit of condemnation off her in Jesus' name, that she's free. She's liberated in Jesus' name, and she's whole right now in Jesus' name. And whatever it is that's trying to emotionally, mentally trying to stop her immune system from functioning at its highest level, and I ask you to help release the pressure from that, get it out, so her body can be, so her, you know, her immune system in all three areas, spirit, soul, and body, will begin to function and fight off, port off the things that try to mess with her, take her down. And all the prayers, all the people, that selfish prayers that people have been praying over you, maybe family members, I don't know, you know, we all have people who pray for us what they think that we're supposed to be doing. I break that off you in Jesus' name. I loosen you from that right now in the Spirit of God. And I thank the Lord for activating Martine's immune system, Father, where she will be able to fight back, just naturally speaking, by the Holy Spirit, of course, just in the natural way that God has made us to fight. So in Jesus' name, hallelujah, I release you from the pressure, from condemnation. I speak peace over you, forgiveness over you, blessings over you, grace over you, the ability to move on in your life. In Jesus' name, that is a blessing. It is a blessing. You are blessed that you moved on. Yes, it's like moving from, you know, like Abraham and Sarah moved from where they were at to walk into Canaan land. Well, that was probably a pretty traumatic experience, you know, and I'm sure they probably had some fights on the way and, you know, in a discussion, because sometimes leaving stuff behind, changing, it takes the grace of God. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for blessing her body, touching her, Jesus, in Jesus' name, letting her body heal up. And Gregory, Father, we thank you for Gregory, God, that you give him strength and courage of how to be an aid, to be like an aid to supply aid. You know, God's going to use you to supply aid, you know, like, I don't know what kind of aid that is, but maybe emotional aid, maybe, you know, compassion aid, whatever that thing is, strength, aid of strength, that you aid people with your strength, in Jesus' name, that the strength that Gregory has, Father, to release it into those who need it, like every married couple, the men are strong in some things, the women are weak, so they are strong for the women. Sometimes the men are weak in things, the women are strong. But we learn to drink in each other's strengths. Well, we need them, and I thank you, Lord, that Gregory got will free that Gregory freely gives his strength away, so that Martine can drink that Jesus, and he will strengthen her in the name of the Lord. Strengthen her emotions, strengthen her body, strengthen her, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Let it be done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Complete the work you've done, God, and bless them completely and fully in Jesus' name. 803-991, who am I talking to, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. Good to have you tonight. All right, thank you. Angela, God, I thank you for the technical abilities to be able to All right, hang on a second. Okay. All right, thank you. All right.
Okay. Angela, all right, Angela. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. Thank you for that ability to put information together, put pieces of the puzzle together, God. You know, that works in every kind of part of life. But, you know, with her writing, with what she's doing, with, you know, business things, with, you just take her to a whole other level where she's like going, man, I never thought about that before. I never thought about that, never thought about that, never thought about that. And it's like God opening up your brain, your mind, to be able to think bigger and wider, right? And God says, I'm expanding you when I'm enlarging your stakes, like expanding your tent. It's like what he's saying is that I'm giving you more ability to understand things so you can do more with less effort. So, God, I think for Angela walking in that area of life where she does less and gets more done. Yeah, does less and gets more done, in Jesus' name. Because I believe that's the realm of the cross that we walk in with Jesus. Once you broke the curse of us, the curse is we work and sweat. The blessing is that we work little. We hoe around, we kind of dig up some dirt, and everything works good. But before you have to pull weeds and mow and hedge and do all the kind of things, work hard and sweat. But I thank you, Lord, just a little bit of effort goes a long ways in Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for showing her how to do that with technology, with the ability to put different kinds of information together, to make a story out of it, put bits of information together on how to figure out issues and problems, whether in business, family, whatever they are, to be able to see, oh, I see that piece and that piece and that piece, and put the piece together and go, oh, I see. That's what's really going on now. I see. Ability to put things together, to connect things. Amen. And when Jesus opened up their minds, all of a sudden they were able to see things that were right there in front of them, but their mind wasn't wide enough or whatever to see it. So he opened their mind. All of a sudden they were thinking, wow, that was Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, for that in her brain, her thinking, her mind, her brain. As you're opening up her brain to be able to think higher, deeper, wider, and comprehend with all the saints the height and the width and the length and the depth of the love of God. Amen. Because when you think in love, you think creativity. God is love. You think in love, in the love realm, the love thoughts, that is the creative realm. Love is the best breeding ground for, if you will, of creativity. Love. All you need is love. All right. Thank you, Angela. 919-995. Can I talk to you somewhere, please? Nine one nine 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 five. Marla, are you there? All right. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for advocating on her behalf, God, advocating. Let's look at the word advocating. All you need is love. Advocating, okay. Just doing stuff. All right. Definition. All right, let's look at the advocating definition. To gerund or present participle advocating. What? Gerund or present participle. Publicly recommended or support. Okay, publicly recommend or support. They advocated an ethical foreign policy. Okay, what does advocating someone mean? Advocating, individual advocacy refers to supporting someone when they need help or try to find a solution when someone has a problem. You likely advocate for others often in your daily life, yet you may not think it as advocacy. Okay, you may in your daily life advocate for other people in your daily life, but you don't even know it. Or supporting someone in their needs, trying to help find solutions for them in their problem. Amen. So there's something about that you have, Cheryl, and an ability to do that. So thank God for that. In Jesus' name, open her up to that advocacy, Father. She has that gift, that ability, that blessing to do it. In Jesus' name, open it. Bless her, Father, and let her see where she does that and where she needs it done in her life. Because the Bible says, you know, given it shall be given. When you give away advocacy to others, you receive it. When you give away grace, you receive grace. When you give away mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thanks for that advocacy, Lord, that she will obtain advocacy for herself. Amen. And you look up the definition. It's really awesome. All right, Cheryl. All right, God bless. All right. 503-318. You want to talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Robin from Oregon.
Hi, Robin.
Hello.
Robin, good to have you. All right. All right. Good to have you. All right. Thank you so much for Robin, God. We thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the prophetic anointing in her life, God, for that ability to see things coming, to see things approaching, to see things. You know, I'm getting blindsided. I've been blindsided about a lot. God didn't always show every prophet everything. You know, and sometimes in the prophetic realm, you know, we can kind of sense what's coming around the corner. We may not know the details on it, but I thank you, Lord, for Robin, God, sensing and knowing things, God, that you begin to confirm to her the details, because sometimes we can feel something's going on. We think we know the general area of it, but, you know, and without details, sometimes it doesn't really help us to fight the battle. We don't always need details of everything to be able to fight battles. Sometimes we just do what God tells us to do, and God fights the battle for us, because we just, you know, like sometimes send the praisers out, which makes no sense. You know, instead of sending out the warriors first, you know, Jehoshaphat sent out the praisers, right? Made no sense, but that was the strategy God gave, right? Sometimes we just, we don't know how to fight. We just say, God, show us what to do, and we do what he says, even if it doesn't make any sense. But other times God will show us things, you know, what's going on, you know, what the root of the problem is, like what's really happening. And I thank you, Jesus, for that, for the word of the Lord inside of her, God, awakening and knowing and sensing what the future has, Father, and how to prepare for it, good and bad. There's some things we prepare for that are good. We prepare, if it's going to rain, we need to go out there and dig some ditches and let the water, you know, stay in there. We can contain some of the blessing. I thank you, Lord, for teaching for how to contain the blessing, but not let things, God says something's coming to you and for you, that you begin to prepare for it by faith, even though it doesn't look like it. It looks like it's going to rain, but Noah still prepared the boat, right? He still did it. So I thank you, Lord, for that preparation thing in her, God, in her life, in Jesus' name, to help her to know what she's preparing for. Sometimes we prepare for possible, like I get words about, you know, financial issues, you know, and whether it's going to go up or down. If you know it's going to go up or down, you know, you can prepare for that and actually get blessed on it. So, you know, so thank you, Lord, for opening her eyes so that she's in that part of her that knows that and senses that, but also looking for the details about how to prepare specifically for things. Open her up to that prophetic realm, God. In Jesus' name, and anoint her eyes to see. Like, sometimes we get lost in the thing of feel overwhelmed. I know I do. God has to say, Randy, there's more for you than there are against you. And they're like, what? There's a bunch against me. He goes, yeah, but there's a lot more for you. He goes, Lord, you can't open my eyes because I can't see it. And like Elisha did the prophet, like the prophet Elisha did the servant. The servant was all freaking out, man. Man, there's armies all around us. And the prophet goes, well, Lord, open his eyes, let him see it. And all of a sudden he goes, oh, dude, we got a lot more on our side than they got on their side. I feel sorry for him now. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for opening her eyes, God. Let her see, you know, every time she needs it, that there's more for us than there are against us. Amen. And to courage to build her up. All right, 863-808. Can I talk to you, please?
Hey. Sorry. Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, Cheryl. All right, you got it. Hey, you did good. You got the whole thing out. Cheryl from Florida. I love it. Everybody has a little bit different testimony of answering the phone. It's so hilarious. I know it's so funny. That's what I love about PGN is that we do this late thing and people fall asleep and then they wake up and they don't even know who they are. I see it. No, wait a minute. I'm What's my name? Oh, yeah. That's it. It's funny. One night, I forget who did that. I think it was Daryl Paul and Nicole. And he, for a second there, anybody wasn't even sleepy. He couldn't remember what he said. My name is Daryl Paul, and I'm from it's funny. I laughed about that one. They laughed, too. It's funny. Anyway, there you go. So that's much for that. But thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl, God. Thank you, Lord, for the love. Turn her heart to do the will of the Father, to please God, and to not be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. Lord, I thank you for that. And open her up and nurture that in her, Jesus, and show her how to perfect that in Jesus' name. And where we transfer all of our, you know, fears of man, you know, which people say they don't have any, but, you know, everybody's free of the fear of man. We'd all be floating around, walking on the water, or floating on clouds. Yes, we would, because people don't even have a clue about how the fear of man affects people, all of us, every one of us. We're raised to fear people. We're raised to fear. So when that fear turns into faith, when that fear turns into reverence and respect for all and God, for God, then we still respect and honor people. We love them, but we don't really, you know, what they believe and what they think about us doesn't motivate us. So because her fear and reverence for all and respect for you, God, rises high above the fear of man. And you're going to have one or the other. There's no in-between, really. We thank you, Jesus, for that production of her reverential awe and faith in you, Jesus, and trusting you and knowing that what you say, what you do, is what really matters. And if anybody else doesn't understand it, we love and forgive them, and we just go on and say, one of these days they'll get it. If God wants them to get it, but if they don't get it, then, you know, whatever. So sometimes people, you know, don't get it. They don't get saved. Some people don't get it. They don't get, you know, the information that they need. So thank you, Lord, that we be patient and generous with our understanding, you know, realizing that sometimes, you know, like with me, you know, I've been slow at a lot of things. Some things I've been really fast with, really fast, just like you. Sometimes I'm really fast. I'm like, boom, 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 done. I got it. Other things like, you want to repeat that again? What was that? You know, and so perfect that in her, God, that ability to look totally to you at what you say in the reverence and fear and awe. But when you walk in the reverence and fear and awe of God, my God, man, the anointing just saturates. The anointing just pours. The anointing just flows. Why? Because what hinders us from the anointing, from the flow of the glory, is glory is about giving glory to God through us. That when the things that hinder that is men. What men do to us. I got this tonight about a friend over Terrence and Tanisha earlier, and I just realized that, you know, it doesn't say what Satan meant for evil, God meant for evil. It says, in Joseph's case, it says what my brothers meant for evil, God meant for good. And that hit me tonight. I went, oh, my God, I've been saying that wrong. It's a true quote to say what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. But the true quote from Joseph was what men did to me that when they meant evil for it. That God, that was, I just kind of hit that. I go, oh, my God. Wow. And so what men try to do to us is hinder the glory of God. But when God's involved in it, we give him the glory for it, and we forgive and respect and honor God more than them, then what God does is he uses what they did against us on purpose, turn it for his glory. Amen. So therefore, the glory of God doesn't get lost. And I thank you, Lord, that Cheryl never comes short of the glory, giving you the glory. Never let men or anybody, anything that men do or don't do separate her from the love of God. Amen. She can be blessed and favored, God, in that realm of receiving the love of the Father. Amen. All right. 864-313. Who am I talking to, please?
Walter in South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Walter. Thank you, Jesus, for breaking them free, Father, of the limitation of men, what men can do, what men don't do. And my life depended on what people did or didn't do. Obeying God, I've heard people say, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, didn't obey God and give me that money that, you know, that God told me they were supposed to give me. I'm going like, you depend on people to obey God? Are you kidding me? It's good. It's nice. It's important because God does use people to give us. But if all we got our mind, we get our focus on people, then we lose, you know, the glory of God. I mean, I've done it many times. God said, what are you doing, Randy? If they don't obey me, then I can tell you, believe me, I can talk to a lot of people. I got angels working. I got all kinds of things going. Now, don't just get your mind, don't limit yourself to that particular person didn't obey God. So the will of God can't be done for my life. How ignorant is that? I mean, and I've done that plenty of times. I've done that so many times.
God says, when are you going to quit doing that?
I said, I don't know. You have to teach me, you know. And so he begins to teach me, Walter, and show me that, you know, even in ministry, it's easy to get your eyes on people because, you know, and it's just people are not buying a product from us. You know, they either give because they want to or they don't. And you learn after a while, you know, you can just, you know, you learn to just appreciate it when it comes and appreciate it when it goes. You know, it's just like God's going to do it one way or the other. God's going to do it. So keep your mind on Jesus and on the Lord instead of getting stuck on what so-and-so didn't do, didn't obey God. You know, how many times have I said that? A bunch. That's what you get your eyes on people for, Randy. Yes, I use people, but I got a lot of people. Well, just keep your eyes on me and let me move and don't hinder me by thinking it's going to happen this particular way or else. You know, and I know you don't always do that, but sometimes we all do it. We all do that sometimes, you know, so. Thank you, Lord, for my brother, God. Thank you for no condemnation. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that his eyes are upon you, Jesus, that he's watching for you, looking for you. You are the hope. He looks up to you. You're the hope of his salvation. In Jesus' name, you shall bring it to pass because his faith, that's the only thing that pleases God, Walter. You know this more than I do. Faith is the only thing that pleases God, the only thing. Wow, we could talk about that. Faith is it. Well, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's just say it the real way, right? Whoa. Impossible. Whoa. Nothing is impossible. Amen? Unless you don't have any faith. If you got faith, all things are possible. Put it into action and cause it to be possible. Oh, put your trust in God alone and lean upon his word. And nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is impossible with God. All right, there you go. All right, 111. Can I talk to your friend, please?
Jeff, Nevada, Yuki, Thailand.
And y'all are messed up, brother. That is like, it's like Colorado, Thailand. Hey, that, you know, put those two countries together, what are you going to have? I don't know. I never thought about it. What are you doing? You put Taiwan. It's like a, almost like a joke, maybe not a joke. What happens when you mix, you know, a Jew and a Gentile with a donkey? What do you come up with? You know, Donkey Kong, whatever Donkey Kong is. You know, you come up with a donkey who can talk, can prophesy. That's what you come up with. Hey, that's a good one. You put a Jew and a Gentile together, a Jew and a Gentile and a donkey together. Yeah, you come up with a donkey who can prophesy. That's a good one. That just came right. You know, what? How do you do this to me, Jeff? You're messing with me, man. Stop it. Stop it. Stop messing with me. Stop throwing that stupid stuff out of me like that random stuff. Dude, yeah, I hear you laughing at me. Okay, think, so what do you do when you mix Thailand with Colorado, TC or OT, whatever it is, or both? What do you come up with? Tyrado. I don't know. I can't get anything on that. Maybe it'll flow up. Anyway, so thank you, Lord, for blessing them, God. Thank you, Lord, for showing them how to separate themselves unto you. In Jesus' name, when they have to, sometimes we separate ourselves unto God because we have to take it away with people's human opinions. Human opinions don't always bother us or mess with us, you know, but sometimes they do. So God, sometimes he'll say, separate yourself for a season for men's opinions and separate yourself unto me and abide in my word, listen to my word. Remember me, Jesus said. He always says, remember me as a person. I thank you, Lord, that Jeff and Yuki, God, remember you as a person. You are a person who cares, who loves, who cares. You're the most perfect person that there is. God, there's nobody like you. We could just have you live in our house and being our teacher every day and being with us every day. But what could go wrong? I mean, how could we ever get messed up? Well, he is with us every day. You know, he's with us. Well, God, I thank you for giving that Jeff and Yuki have the know that you are with them. Wherever they go, they're never left alone. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, Jesus said. God said, I'll never leave. I gave my life for you. You know, how could he ever leave us or how could he ever forsake us? He's with us always at all times. God, I thank you that your spirit being, your spirit man, your spirit being with us is greater than you being with us in the physical realm. One of these days you're going to show up in the physical realm in Jerusalem. So what good is that going to do us? I mean, it's going to be awesome, but it's going to be, and it's going to be a blessing for the earth, no doubt. But what good is spiritually in communion with him? What good? It's going to be like, oh, he's still far away. You know, far away is being next door. You still can't see him. Either being next door or being, you know, 10,000 miles away in Jerusalem or whatever it is. Hey, right? So we learned that you're always with us. You gave your life for us. We're with you. We're with you better in spirit than we are in the natural realm. He was with the disciples in the natural realm. He said, I got to go away and get away from you guys so I can come back and it'll be better for you. So I thank you, Lord, that you're showing them how to know that it's better for us that you're gone. So we can have that intimacy, personal fit, that you can be with every person who will allow you to be with them. I thank you, Jesus, for that personal thing, to remember me, Jesus said. He's always saying, remember me. He also said in the Old Testament, hearken to my voice. What does that mean? Listening to him as a person, not rules and regulations, but the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're closer to him when he's not here physically than he is if he is physically. It's awesome to be around Jesus physically, but as far as our everyday life, he's not going to be there and tell you everything to do every moment, right? Well, that'd be cool, but, you know, he says he leads us and guides us. Yeah, he gives us the desires, and we follow the desires that God gives us, right? And it's just like him telling us what to do. It's better. It's great. It's because now it's us desiring. What I have to say, Jesus, do I go to the grocery store now or later? He said, go now. You know, instead it's like I have a desire to go to the grocery store now or later. I got a desire to go now. I think I'm going to go now. You know, and then kind of, it's just as much as him sitting there telling you, except now you're guided by the desire realm. So this whole thing about the desire realm, I know I've talked about it for years, and I'm still getting it myself. That God says, the best way for you is not for me standing right there in front of you and telling you what to do. It's better for you to have my desires and to know that what I desire for you, you desire it too. Therefore, we're closer in that way than we could if we were standing hugging necks. Lord, John leaned on the breast of Jesus, Jeff, and yet when he went away, he became closer than that. It's amazing. Some people don't understand that, but thank you, Jesus, for the fellowship that we have on the inside. He's closer to us than a brother. Lord, open up Yuki to that as she's gone to Thailand. Open up Jeff with that as he plunges forward, God, to do the things he's doing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open it up, God. Open it up in Jesus' name. Bless him, God. Bless him with double. That'll find out it's more blessed sometimes to be apart, yeah, for a season, you know, to be connected in a new way. We're not being apart. We become connected in a new way. It's like being apart from Jesus. They found out they were closer to him than he was when he was here physically. So show him that realm, God. Open it up to him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So they'll know what to do. I'll do it. All right, 4214, 434. Who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for Kimberly, Derek, and Foxy?
And Foxy?
Who's running?
How do you spell it, Matthew?
Yes. Foxy is Foxxy. She's a dog, a German
Foxy,
shepherd.
Just like it sounds. Gotcha. All right.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I couldn't quite get it. I got you thinking, Foxy. I thought she said Foxy. They're going, did she say Foxy? She did. I love it. All right, Foxy. All right, thank you, Lord, for Foxy. I love it. Thank you, Lord, for Foxy, teaching Foxy how to, you know, drink of life, just drink of life, learn to enjoy life and drink of it, and learn to, you know, go with the blows. Sometimes something goes wrong. To not get all, let it weird you out, let it cause you to be anxiety, have anxiety and stress, but to be able to go with the flow, you know, say, okay, well, it didn't work today, it'll work tomorrow. And, you know, if I lose that one, it'll be replaced somehow. And not let things mess with you. And Jesus, Foxy, we thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that Foxy is the characteristics of Foxy, God, are just beautiful. And lovely, and friendship, and pleasantry, being pleasant, and yet being very, have a great personality. Have a personality is just like you know, just like spicy and fun and, you know, sometimes peaceful and kind. All the different characteristics of Foxy God, in Jesus' name, of the, you know, most beautiful creatures, Father, in Jesus' name, open up that whole Foxy thing inside of Foxy in Jesus' name. And let them be, you know, the greatest, you know, friend. Let Foxy be a great friend in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Great friend. Amen. A friend. Friend closer than a brother. Amen. All right. And bless Kimberly and Derek, probably thank you for blessing them, God, for giving them peace. God, giving them wisdom, giving them understanding, giving them, teach them learn how to enjoy each other, learn how to enjoy outside life, and learn how to enjoy inside life. And you have a balance on both where you can enjoy one another, and when we're apart from one another, learn how to enjoy, you know, life and all the things that we have in life. God, they learn how to enjoy life to be fulfilled in every area. Amen. In Jesus' name, not just having to be together to enjoy life. We do both. We have both, and both fulfilled. There's things outside of our life together that bless us and fulfill us. Thank you, Lord. You want them to be totally fulfilled, Jesus, in everything they can think of, everything they do. God, that their heart walk in the fulfillment of satisfying not only one another, but yielding each other over to God. Going, okay, you need to go do that. I need you today, but you need to go do that. Feel like I want to give you away to those people. I want to give you away today. I need you, but I'm going to give you away. And as we give, we receive back from God. Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching them how to give and giving to each other, giving each other away, giving each other time, giving each other what they need, and thinking about the other one more than themselves, and then finding that the other one will always care for them more if they're willing to give their care up, you know, for themselves to care for the other person. Thank you, Lord, that Kimberly cares for Derek. Derek cares for Kimberly. In Jesus' name, they lay their life down for one another and love one another and let that satisfaction fulfill their life, Father, in every way. In Jesus' name, they're willing to give their life away to each other. Amen. If that makes sense. Cool. All right. Bless them, Jesus. 225-454. Who may talk to you? With some, please.
Hi, Karen from Louisiana.
Hey, Karen. All right. Good to have you.
Hey,
Karen.
How are you?
Doing really good. Thank you for asking. I'm going to be right back. Give me just a second. I'll be right back. All right, Karen. Sorry about that. I'm back. Thank you, Jesus, for Lord. I thank you for that. The woman who had the issue of blood, Lord, that she spent all of her money on, you know, trying to get help. And, you know, I don't know if people took advantage of her. I don't know what the deal was exactly. You know, human beings can be pretty, you know, suck the life out of you things. But all the things that try to suck my life out of her and her loved ones and what she's going on and what's happening in her life, God, I think you're going to stop in that. You're going to stop that. When she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, that's that losing her life, that thing draining, life draining out of her and out of her, you know, just not just for you, but for your loved ones. And for their finances, for their physical, emotional, mental life. Sometimes, you know, the legal world tries to suck the life out of us. Whatever it is, I don't know exactly what that is, but I thank you, Lord, that as Karen, you know, steps in behalf of everyone in her life and others, Jesus, she reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment and stops that flow of loss of life, loss of blood, where it can stop immediately in Jesus' name and be made whole. Thank you, Lord, for that with Karen Kelly. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing you with that. And you, Jesus, is like that woman who had that issue of blood, and she broke through the crowd and didn't care what anybody thought about it. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And she reached out and touched him. Immediately, the flow stopped. Whoa, the wrong flow. You got the good flow and the bad flow. The bad flow stuff going out. Loss stopped immediately. And a new flow began. She was in the flow of the Holy Spirit through her life. Peace. Amen. All right. Karen, in Jesus' name, be blessed with that. And the faith you have at that woman, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 469-553. You may talk to me in front, please.
Hi, Prophet Randy. It's Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Barbara. Right, Barbara, thank you, Lord, for counting your blessings, counting, you know, teaching people how to count their blessings. You can't count, but learn how to count your blessings. Because sometimes we count our blessings, the things that we can see. And then other times we count the blessings that we can't see. It's like we don't see it happening yet, but we start counting it before it even happens. It's like counting those things that are not before they even become. You know, it's like, you know, God really showing you how to walk in faith and to count those things done that aren't done yet, that's been done, and then watch them be done. Amen? Because when you walk in the done realm, the D-O-N-E realm, done, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it is done, it is completed, that God, Barbara will begin to see, begin to walk as she walks more and more in that area, stronger and stronger in the area of things that are finished, things that are done, to bring peace and rest, and really it changes your whole prayer life when you walk in that area of knowing that things are done, that have already been done by Jesus. The Lord has already got to accomplish it. And all we do is like we just kind of take hold of it in our understanding, in hundredfold understanding, and begin to understand things. That's why Jesus said you can have 36 standing, Matthew 13, because it's understanding those things, not just having head knowledge of them, as you know, but it's understanding this in the spirit of understanding. And all you're getting is understanding. When you understand something, then you know it. Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Most people don't really understand the voice of God. They don't understand how it works, all different ways that he works. And thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus. Barbara, walk in that understanding. Amen. That it is done. It is finished. Enter to a whole, because when you walk in that, you enter to a whole new resting realm of prayer where you pray seated with him in heavenly places. Amen. Seated with Christ. I mean, you pray from that, it is done, it is finished. Because you know, you're sitting with him in heavenly place. You're sitting there watching him. You see the scars on his hand. That he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and you're sitting right there with him at his side, you know, or with him in heavenly places. You can see that it's done. I mean, it changes the way we pray, the way we do, everything. Hallelujah. Amen, because we know religion, which easy for any of us to get caught up into, is always trying to make it happen. Pray and make it happen, but it's really already done. We just have to get the understanding of it and then walk in that understanding. All right, 940-210. Who want to talk to you from, please?
This is Michael from Texas.
Hey, Michael. All right, good, Michael. Good to have you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Michael. God, for preparing the way for, you know, walking the line. He walked the line. Yeah, to walk the line, Father, in Jesus' name, to know that that without the grace of God, we can't walk the line. We can't stay straight. We can't do anything. We depend on you, Jesus. We got too many things that, you know, trying to draw us away, trying to distract us. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching Michael, God, how to stay in that place, how to live in that place, how to abide in Jesus, how to abide in the Lord, how to let the word of God abide in you. Amen. That way it keeps you in that steady. If we ever not abiding, we've gotten distracted. When we get distracted, then we lose track of where we are and where we're going. Then we have to well, what happened? Like, I kind of got lost. We get lost. Even though we're saved, we still get lost. All right. So I think it's also that finding position that Michael Moore will find his tracking, try find his footing, God. As you were saying, and learn how to abide in you. Because we abide in you, we don't get off track much at all. We stay on track. We stay in line with. Thank you, Lord, for that ability, God, your grace upon him, Father, in Jesus' name, to abide in Christ, to remain in the Lord, in the person of Jesus, getting to know the person of Christ. I mean, not just the rules and regulations of the Bible, but that he is the Word of God. The person of Christ is the Word, and how compassionate he is, how loving he is. How convicting he is, and how powerful he is to help us activate our faith toward him. He always says, "Where's your faith at? Where's your faith go? You lose your faith? Where's your faith? Oh, I lost it. Oh, right here. No, here it is, right in my mouth." Yeah. Amen. So open it up, Jesus, and let it be done. Blessing God, increasing, multiplying. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. All right, 612-991. Who am I talking to you from, please? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce, God. Thank you, Lord, for her life. Anyway, thank you, Joyce, for being in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit minister through you in many different ways. There's many different ways, Joyce, that the Holy Spirit ministers through us. It can be prayer. It can be giving. It can be helping. It can be doing things for others. It can be, you know, standing in agreement with other people. There's many different ways to work for God. God wants to show you his works. He wants you to work the works of God at a new level, in a new place, working the works of God in a new place, in Jesus' name, to know how to work the works of God. And all the different ways that we work the works of God, sometimes we're working the works of God and don't even know it. Like, oh, that was your work, God? Yeah, you were working the works of God. Oh, wow. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for working the works and teaching Joyce how to work the works with her children, with the family, with her prayer life. Whatever she's doing, God, she's working the works of God. You're going to reward her for working the works of God, not just doing her own thing or doing what people think she should do, but doing what you say, what you show, what you reveal, God. Open that up and bless her in Jesus' name. And open up that place of obedience to God where she will find herself in such obedience to you, God, that that there will never be a chance missing out on anything. I mean, short of the glory, any kind of fort, passion, or form. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Amen. I'm coming short of the glory. You can tell the real story. The Jesus story. The Jesus story is the real story. That's the story we tell. We don't tell our own stories, right? We tell the story that the thing that he gave us to do, the works of Christ, the works of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for opening that up in Jesus' name and blessing her, God. Increase her and multiply her, Father. Increase her and increase her wisdom. Increase her her praise of God. Her singing, her worship, God, to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Open it up. Open up. Break the seals, God, and bless her. Amen. Jesus' name. Open her heart in new ways as never before. Hallelujah. All right, midnight. If you don't have your hand up, get your hand up. I want to pray for you. I think that's it for tonight. If somebody else raises their hand, it's almost midnight. We can't call back in. We have one caller left with up their hand up. So whatever's going on with that, I don't know. Maybe they don't know they don't have a hand up. I don't know. We don't click you because we think you want your privacy. All right, so I'm going to give it a minute, and if you don't get on the line, get that hand up there, 903-253. You do not have your hand up. Go to your phone pad, click one on your phone. You don't have to get off the show. Stay on the show. Don't hang up. Get on your phone pad and click one on your phone if you're listening to me and you want prayer tonight. Maybe I've already prayed for you. I don't know. But anyway, you're the only one that doesn't have their hand up. All right, so do that, and we will be glad to minister to you and pray for you. All right, I think that's it tonight. It's past midnight. Nobody can ever call in. So, all right, everybody, thank you. We will talk to you tomorrow night. God bless. Good to have you tonight. I think I prayed for every person. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. I believe I got every person. All right? All right, thank you, guys. See you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.